Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Sister Yaina, Yah Israel, with another edition of the Yehuda Project. We just wanted to say hello to everyone and Yehuda Yah for calling in. We expect to have a real serious show today. Last week was off the chain. This week is going to be even better. But before we get started, I'm going to play a song as I usually do, and I'm going to get my co-host on the line so that she can give her prayer as she normally does. Hold on one moment, please. Here we go. All right, we're getting ready to get our co-host on the line right now, Sister Kavah. Kavah, are you there?
I am. Shalom, shalom to everyone. Yaina, let me tell you.
Yes, ma'am.
I think you've been holding out on us. You had to have been a DJ back in the day. Girl, you need to tell us you had them skills like that.
That's one of my favorite songs right there. That's Frankie Beverly. You know, he's been around a long time. Yes, indeed.
You went way back. You reached way back.
Yes, ma'am. For sure.
Yes, ma'am.
Was you jamming, Kavah? Was you back there jamming, girl?
Girl, I was like, y'all ain't have been holding out. I said, we need to just have one show just devoted to all throwback music. So the folks who call in, they ain't heard throwback music in a while, and just play it the whole show long. I think that would be wonderful for the people.
It would be beautiful.
Yes, ma'am. Woo. Yes, ma'am.
So are you ready for this show today? You know, it's going to be kind of tripped out a little bit. You know, we got to. We have to take our people to a place that I know they don't want to go. And what I want to say is before she says this prayer and she speaks the things into the atmosphere for all of you all that are on the line, and we have quite a few people on the line, we want you to turn around, click over, call your family members, call your colleagues, call everybody you know and tell them to call in. This is one of those shows that we will not forget. Do you know, Kavah, that we've had 800 listeners from the time we put on this show last week up until now, that we're at almost 13,000 people have listened?
I believe that. I do believe that, Yaina. And it's exciting that people, it shows you the hunger of people. It shows you that people are tired of mundane and people are tired of the same old wheel, spinning on the same wheel like a hamster, like one of my sisters would say. And people are tired of that. They're hungry. They know that there's more. They're searching. And they want truth. They don't want it in a box. They want the creator. And I believe our show, we have grown even since the time we have been on the air. So we're growing as well as those that are listening. They're growing as well. So, you know, I think it's exciting what the Most High is doing. Hallelujah.
All right, all right. On that note, you're going to lead us in prayer?
Yes, I am. We just thank you, Father, all-powerful creator of the universe, heavens and the earth. We thank you, and we acknowledge you this day. We acknowledge all that you have done and all that you're doing. And I speak into the atmosphere, a whole nother level, for the listeners, a whole nother level for Yaina and myself as well, as we disseminate this information, we put this information out there to the listeners, that their hearts and minds, their spirit is open to receive as we go into this new dimension that you have us transitioning in. Father, let us go in not with the mindset that we had before, but with the new mindset to be open to you, our creator, and to receive that which you have for us so that we can grow, evolve, and get back to the status that we once were and return back to what you have for us as the Elohim. And we just thank you now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We want to make some announcements, too, that Brother Adonijah is not going to be with us today. For all of you fans out there that look forward to hearing from Brother Adonijah, he had a previous engagement, so he's not going to be able to be with us today, and we're definitely going to miss him. But we also want to make a declaration, and we really want to let you all know that when we do this show because we have been commissioned to do this show, and this show started out as a show of relationship between male and female, but it has evolved into so much more. And we want you all not to take this for granted. You know, we're not doing this to gain points with anyone. We're doing this to give you information. And Kavah and I may not be on this show for a very long time. I mean, to be honest with you, the Most High has given us direction as to where we need to go. And once we start that process and get that process flowing, we may not be available like we are right now. So the information that we're giving is information that we give because we love you. It is for survival of our people so that our people can be informed. You know, we try to give you topics of shows where people, that areas that other people won't touch, because we want to make sure that Israel is prepared. Because the worst thing you can do is be out there and not be prepared for what's coming and then be deceived with the masses. So We just want to let you know that we're doing this out of love and out of respect for our people so that we can get this information out. We do have a couple of guests that are going to be on the show today, and I think one of them has already pushed one. I think is area code 917, Kabah?
That's correct. That is correct.
Okay. Okay, we're going to get our co-host on the line in a moment, and then we have another brother that's calling in, hopefully from California, that's going to be on our show. Because last week was so off the chain, you know, we didn't mean to scare anyone, but at the same time, you know, it's too late in the hour for us to be afraid of what you hear or afraid of how much information we give you, because this time is moving pretty fast, and we've got to get people aware of how serious this is and the things that are coming. So let me let him on the air real quick, and he can introduce himself and let everyone know where he's calling from. Go ahead. You're on the air. Could you let everyone know who you are and where you're calling from, please?
This is Brother Maccabi, currently in the West Coast, but from New York. I'll be online today.
All right. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Okay, Kabah, so we got Maccabi on, and we thank him for taking the time out of his day to come on to the show. We talked about some pretty serious stuff last week. When I checked the ratings last week, or when I checked them today, we've had almost, it's going on 900 people. There is 800 and some odd people that listen to the show from Sunday to today. And it was pretty serious that people took the time to listen to that show, because we had a young lady on the show who had overheard a conversation of a girl that was on the phone talking to someone, saying that when she was born with a tail. That spun us into genetic food modifications, and it spun us into nanotechnology, and it spun us into all types of different areas to prepare us for this end time that we're dealing with right now. So, you know, I just wanted to talk to you first before we even go into the topic. How did you feel about the information? Because even after the show, we had people, we had a very interesting week. Wouldn't you say, Kabah?
Yes, we did. It seems like whenever we touch on certain topics, or the Creator Almighty Yah bring us a topic to deal with, we end up having an experience based on that topic. So it was very interesting. It was a very interesting week. I'm still at almost a point of silence. And that don't often happen with me, y'all. Y'all just got to know that. Come on, get tough. But, you know, it was interesting where some things that transpired this week. And it's deep. I understand that this thing is very, 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 very deep. And if we understood the things that are in the scriptures, how those things actually go back, it's really about DNA. It's about bloodline. It's so deep that you just would not believe it, because of the lie that has been given to us in the religious arenas, that we don't see it. It's in our face. They throw the blood in there. So blood is in there in the scriptures, dealing with the sacrifices, dealing with the sacrifice of Hamashiach. And it's all centered around blood, which goes into DNA. This thing is deep, y'all. You just don't know how deep this is.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Last week after the show, we had the privilege of being on the phone with two people that shared in that same trait that young lady with the tail had. We were actually on the phone with a young lady and a young man who carried a specific gene that is an identifying marker for this particular blood type. And, you know, when they got to talking, they were actually talking about their history, and they got to talking about their ancestors, and they got to talking about, and these were African-American people or people of color that actually got on there and began to give information about their history and what their ancestor history was about. And to be honest with you, these are the things that, and these people consider themselves to be Israel. So, I mean, you know, when you talk about the makeup of a nation, I mean, you're going to, there, it takes all kinds to make a world, and we all come with different genetic markers, with different blood types, with different characteristics, with different traits, and everything. And all of these, and I was telling Kavah, I call it angel theology, because they have a history where they can trace themselves back to the ancient astronauts or the ancient aliens that came here, or ancient fallen angels, or whatever you want to call them. They have this history that they trace themselves back to. And when we had this conversation last week, it floored us like, wow. You know, I mean, really, when you study it, it's a difference in studying and actually coming up close and personal with someone that actually has it. Not only have it, but they're not afraid to give you information as to what their history and their background is.
Right.
So that's what we're going to dedicate ourselves today with on the show, and we're waiting on some people to call in that can kind of give us some insight on as to this history and what we need, you know, what it's all about. But this thing is pretty serious, and I found a clip, the Kavah, that I want to play because people are still calling in, and I wanted to kind of play this to kind of break the ice a little bit, if you didn't mind, so we could kind of understand what's going on with us. Is that okay?
Oh, go ahead, my sister. Please share.
My friends, the information that you are about to witness from all of my years of research is the most important. It's been hidden in plain view the entire time. This is the ultimate secret, and it's about to be exposed. I have hundreds of government documents, textbooks, white papers, where for over 80 years, the elite of the Western world have talked about adulterating food and water to sicken and sterilize the population for the purpose of eugenics. It's all covered in the book Ecoscience, written by the White House science czar John P. Holdren. They talk about a planetary police state to carry out the forced sterilization. They also talk about covert systems in the water and food to sterilize the population. Now, this was written decades ago, before he was White House science czar. Now, suddenly, the stuff in this book is all over the news. They're selling it to the public as if it's a good thing. You see here before you what an average person would buy when they went shopping at the store. Not everything here is bad for you, but much of it has compounds and artificial chemicals that have been added that are extremely toxic and bad for your health, and they have known this the entire time, and they have approved them for use. Let's start with aspartame. You cannot go to the grocery store now and buy any type of even regular sugar gum that hasn't had aspartame added to it. In the 1970s, Searle tried to get it approved, and they couldn't. It took them three separate times, because in their own studies with monkeys, large portions of them that were fed it died and contracted cancer. Now we have mainstream news articles, and the EU has done a major study finding lower birth weights, early birth, and, yes, miscarriages from women that drink aspartame-laden soft drinks like Coke Zero. What is aspartame? It is the fecal matter of the E. coli bacteria. They took it and genetically engineered it. They can feed it toxic waste, and then it defecates aspartame. And it has so many bad health effects, it's just unspeakable. Thank you. done by design. It's also very, very addictive. Let's just go ahead and move away from aspartame and talk about McDonald's and chicken McNuggets. Now, I remember a decade ago or so reading health advisories claiming that a form of plastic that's used in silly putty, basically a type of silicone, was in the chicken McNuggets, but also in many other TV dinners and other foods. It is illegal in every other nation in the world to add these chemicals in the food, but it's not in the United States. The big secret is all of this was done by design by the FDA. Look at all the drugs they've approved, and then it comes out later that they knowingly approve them when these drugs are causing heart attacks and cancer. In the Nuremberg trials, it came out that the Nazis were adding sodium fluoride to the water supply in the labor camps and death camps to make the population more docile and controllable. There had been hundreds of university studies before Hitler even came to power. This is a form of forced medication. They admit that one part per million of sodium fluoride more than doubles the chance of bone cancer in boys and men. As the public became educated in the last few decades, the government industry's response was to not just put it in water, but to start adding it to thousands of products like children's water that's mixed with their formula or with their cereal. They started adding as much as 900 parts per million in things like powdered eggs. It causes reductions in IQ. It increases sterility or lack of fertility. And it's being added to so many of the daily staples that we consume. We'll get back to food additives in a moment. But first, I wanted to look at genetically modified organisms. Did you know for many years the American people have been eating cloned beef and pork, and now they're expanding out into other forms of meat? Let's look at salmon first. Major university studies conclusively have proven that the type of genetically modified salmon that is actually a cross species, they've mixed other animal genes in with it, that when this fish is introduced with wild natural salmon, within 40 generations, all the natural salmon are extinct. And the FDA approved this, and they're going to allow it to be released into the wild. That isn't even a salmon. It is a cross-species chimera. It is a mixture like something out of the island of Dr. Maru, something out of a nightmare. More than 85% of the corn now consumed in the United States, it's also starting to trend that way in Europe and Canada, is genetically engineered. It grows its own pesticide within the corn kernels so that insects won't eat it. If the insects can't eat this and live, what do you think is going to happen when lab rats or humans eat it? We have literally hundreds of studies showing that not just Monsanto's, but other major GMO companies' corn, that's the majority of corn we're now eating today in the United States, has been linked to organ failure in lab animals. The studies also show massive increases in sterility in rats and guinea pigs that are fed not just GMO corn, but GMO cotton seeds. Studies in India, Germany, and the United States have conclusively shown that when they feed the cotton seeds left over from the cotton crop from these genetically modified varieties, that the cows are having miscarriages, they are having low birth weights, or in many cases, they're simply dying. And what is in most processed foods? Genetically modified cottonseed oil. Major studies are also showing that genetically engineered crops are killing honeybees and monarch butterflies. They don't stop there. Now they claim they're coming out with a genetically engineered mosquito that's malaria-proof that they're going to release into the open biosphere. The very genetic code of the planet is being butchered in a hostile corporate takeover. Many years ago, an executive from Monsanto was quoted in National Geographic as saying that that is their program, that they want to basically have their crops and their organisms take over the entire biosphere of this planet.
All right, what do you got to say about that? Here we go, here we go.
That is a trip. But it's not. That's a trip. Because, and it's not a surprise because you see it every day. They have it in our faces. I mean, we read about it. I mean, but people feel like they're powerless to even change what is happening. So for them to tell us that they're going to do this, they've been telling us for years that they're going to do this. They've been showing us for years that they're going to do this. And guess what they've been doing? They've been doing it. But people don't care. Some people do care, but some people don't. You have those people that are so busy with being distracted with amusement, i.e. sports, i.e. Entertainment, i.e. all of the nine, everything that will distract you from the real stuff, those are amusements, those things that make you feel good, entertain your mind, you know. It's not shocking, Yaina. It's not shocking. And you have some people that don't care until it literally begins to affect them or touch them somewhere in their family or family member or in their own body, or it comes into their home and it affects them. That's when they begin to say, wait a minute, something's wrong here. We can't allow this to happen. But it's the program has basically been implemented and it's been carried out to the degree that it seems, listen to my word, it seems unstoppable. But that's not true.
No, absolutely not. Brother McCarvey, you have a comment?
Not so far. I'm just listening right now.
I mean, it's real serious talk when you talk about all these. And the thing about it is, you know, we have a system in our government where they help the poor, and then they give out these food stamp cards for these young girls to buy food for their families. And you know, they don't know any better. They don't know what to do. I mean, they really don't know. That's why we do this show. And for the most part, for the last 3 or 4 weeks, the Most High has been giving us topics that are off relationship and on to serious survival information, so that you can be made aware of what's going on. Because like Brother Adonia, I said last week, if this isn't enough to get you jumping and get you realizing we need to come together and put a strategy together as a people, I don't know what it's going to take. I mean, really, because we have to survive, and we have to put things in place to survive. So I wanted to stop it. I want to start a little bit more. We only have a little bit more of this left, and then we're going to open up the mics to people that want to give a comment. All right, here we go.
Companies have focused mainly on 8 major food crops. Now they're expanding out into hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other plants, literally changing the genetic code of the planet. This is a genetic dictatorship. This is genetic vandalism. And that's why the Rockefellers, the United Nations, and others have built these giant armored seed vaults all over the world, not just at the Arctic Circle. And they admit they're doing it in case all of this gets out of hand, but they'll have a type of Noah's Ark. So all these fake environmental groups, they never complain about this. They never talk about true environmental degradation. They want to put a tax on carbon dioxide that humans exhale, that plants respirate from and carry out photosynthesis with, as a way to shut down industrial society and control every facet of our lives. That's the big secret. This is a population reduction program. It is an epidemic. The sperm count has dropped in the Western world exponentially. Even the government has been predicting within another generation, almost everyone is going to be sterile. This is the globalist religion. This is their philosophy. They want the planet for themselves. The UN has said that their stated plan is an 80% population reduction. You've heard Ted Turner call us useless eaters and feeders and say that 80% of us need to be killed. You've heard Prince Philip say he wants to come back as a virus to kill the majority of the world population. Dr. Eric Bianca, Peter Singer, it's all over the news where they tell us that we should only have one child because more than one is bad for the environment and that the recession is good for lowering our carbon footprint. This is the big secret. We live in a scientific dictatorship, and the United States and England are the epicenter of this, and it's expanding worldwide. Remember all the secret testing, all the secret sterilization that went on in the United States and Europe. Remember what Hitler did. He learned all of that from the eugenicist and the Rockefeller family in the United States. This is a culture of death being pushed on you and your family. And even if you think the world is overpopulated, you need to understand that you're being targeted by this as well. Targeted by design. Recombinant bovine growth hormone in your milk, making 8-year-old girls go into puberty. They should be going into puberty at 12 or 13. Silicone in chicken McNuggets and hundreds of other processed foods. Aspartame, that is the feces of genetically engineered bacteria that has incredible health problems that have been proven. Think for yourself. It goes on and on. ABC News, this goes back 4 years ago. Viral meat spray, advancing food safety. They spray a live virus on the meat to supposedly kill the bacteria. This is a live vaccine they spray on most of the meat you're consuming that you're buying from the store. It gets even worse. The petroleum distillates, or toxic waste that's left over from petroleum refineries that refine oil into gasoline, they take these tens of millions of pounds of toxic waste that's left over, the fluoride, the mercury, the lead, and they dump it on crops as supposed fertilizer. And what do crops like tomatoes and corn and potatoes do? They pull in all of those toxins out of the ground. In fact, scientists for many years have used plants to actually detoxify areas that have been contaminated. And those plants are pulling all of this up, and then you are eating it. That's why the Washington Post reported in January of 2008 that a major study found that nearly a third of the 55 popular brand name foods and beverage products were filled with mercury, despite the fact that the people of Europe for over 20 years have fought off all the genetically modified wheat and corn and other crops being planted in their nation. Now the EU is buckled and is accepting. The United States is literally a testing ground for all of this. It's just automatically approved. And the people that work for these corporations, they're compartmentalized. They don't know what's going on. The people that work at these stores, they have no idea what's happening. This is affecting all of us. This is hurting everyone. Many different forms of cancer are growing by thousands of percentage points. Diabetes, all these different diseases. And in major studies, it's all been linked to the toxic additives that are in our food, our water. And I haven't even had time to get into MSG. I mean, I've interviewed brain surgeons, neurologists, scientists. I mean, it just devastates the brain. It's an excitotoxin. It destroys the liver. And it is in tens of thousands of products. We can say no. We can stand up. But if you've got a neighbor giving fluoride water to their baby, please go over and warn them. If you've got a neighbor that's sitting there eating MSG-filled chips, one after the other, warn them. You've got a responsibility. If you know people that are feeding processed foods filled with GMO, warn them. And for God's sakes, don't give it to your own children. If you want to kill yourself, that's your own business. But don't hurt your children. Don't do this, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, all right. What do you guys got to say about that?
That's interesting, Yaina, because, number one, when you sit back and you look at what's transpiring and what they're trying to do, it looks like something out of a sci-fi movie. For instance, these aliens come down to the planet Earth to take over the Earth. So they begin to do certain things to the population, kill them off, eat them up, do whatever they need to do so that they can have the whole planet to themselves. Now, if you were to see that in a movie, you would say, oh, aliens aren't real. These beings aren't real. You know, that's just the movies. But very few of us really understand that they always show you in a movie what really that they are going to do in the earth, manifest before it begins to manifest in the earth. So what I'm hearing, literally what I'm hearing, everything that he said sounds like something straight out of a movie.
It sure does.
It's literally like it's up.
Yes, ma'am.
Yep,
I agree.
That this is very serious, and that is exactly what is happening. if you really begin to understand DNA and understand bloodline and really understand what's transpiring, it probably will cause you to be seriously walking around like, oh my goodness, I can't, in a state of like shock, because that's literally what's happening.
Absolutely.
And the thing about it is, too, you have to understand, people, as we began to give this information, because, you know, some of you have already been on YouTube, and some of you have been, some of you are researchers. Some of you already know this information. And if it's contained to a smaller group of people, that's fine. But as a nation, we've been talking about nation building. Let's come together. We put together the 2013 Annual State of the Nation Address for us to all come together. And, you know, it dropped in my spirit the other day when I was going out of the door that a lot of people may not have money to be able to come to Cincinnati for the State of the Nation Address and pay for hotel for one day and sit down and learn and do what we need to do. So we're going to try to develop an alternative to those who cannot afford to come so that we can get you the information that you need, because this is a matter of survival. This is not, we are not here to entertain. We're not here to argue over tassels and new moons and feast days and holy days and when are we supposed to. We're here to let you know that this is, it is time now for us to start coming together, because the scripture clearly says, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man for those who believe in the New Testament. And these things are happening. These things were happening back then. They were doing the same thing back then. They were cross-blending. They were genetically modifying the plants, the animals, and the human beings. It's all in the book of Enoch. They've always done this thing. There's nothing new under the sun. So we're at the end now, and it's time for us to start paying attention and stop fighting and come together. And I have somebody who pushed one, area code 951. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Shalom, shalom, family, Sister Yaina.
Shalom,
hey, shalom,
and,
sis.
Shalom, and the brother, shalom, my brother.
Oh, shalom, how you doing, sister?
I am so elated. I am so elated. These are exciting times to be alive, because we really, truly get to see the hand of the Father.
Yes.
This has all been written for the timeline as such. And all I wanted to say was, I was speaking with Sister Cabal last week, and what we are seeing are the effects of them colonizing. This is what colonizing looks like.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But the Father is gathering his. The Father is gathering his.
Yes, he is.
And I'm just going to sit back and listen. Because you ladies are really on the edge. I mean, there's no other blog talk that brings it raw like this. So I appreciate that you guys are really, well, you gals and brothers are really sticking your neck out. Because we know we have the agents and the spies and they're taping, yada, 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 and who cares? Because they know their time is up.
That's right.
Their time is up.
Yes.
This is the countdown. Yes. It's about to flip the script.
Yes, it is.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm
Hallelujah.
Done. I'm going to listen.
I love it. Again, if you have a comment or you want to add some information, please push one. We got quite a few people on the line, and they're still calling in. I think it's beautiful. Somebody's telling somebody to get on the line. Somebody's feeding this information to their family members, and I think this is beautiful because this is how we get it. If each one reach one, if we can get each one to reach one and let them know, this is how we build this thing together, and this is how we come together as a nation, and this is how we love on each other, and this is how we learn from each other, is that we have to stick it together, and we have to make sure we do what we need to do, and that we're called by the Most High to do what we've been called to do.
want to say hallelujah for all of you guys that are on this line, because this line is filling up. Anybody have a comment? Kavag, Maccabi, you have a comment you want to make before I go to another clip? Because now we're getting ready to go in the bloodline, because he made a specific statement about the elite. He said the elite is doing population reduction. And the thing about it is we have people in our nation that have seeds that have not been contaminated. We have seeds that have not been genetically modified. We have farmers that are putting farms together so that the food that we can eat will not be tainted. And that is why we're trying to get everybody to register for the 2013 annual State of the Nation address. They're going to bring their seeds with them. They're going to teach you how to plant these seeds. They're going to teach you the art of cutting and how, you know, you may have old trees or your family members may have old fruit trees or something that are in your yard, and there may only be a stump left. But they'll teach you how to get this another tree to grow from a piece that they'll cut off of that tree, which is a method that's called cutting, so that we can start regrowing those things that are not contaminated to sustain our lives.
Yes.
Right. That's right.
Yes, Yahin. Maccabi, go ahead. I want to hear what you have to say. Maccabi was a brother that has a lot of wisdom and understanding and some things. And he's a young brother, but this brother goes deep. And I really want him to share with our audience some things that he have an understanding in. Brother Maccabi?
Can you hear me?
Now
yeah,
we can.
Okay. Okay, well, basically, the clip you played was very interesting, and I think we do need a foundation, like a starting point, somewhere we can start at, where we can where we can focus on, like, how to rearrange things and get our people back to the origins of things and get us prepared for the upcoming events. Because the things that are about to take place, this is nothing is accidental. They set all this up. They even set the things up in the book because they rearranged the book. You know, they were allotted a certain amount of time, as we know, and the time is about to be up. The thing is, what our people don't understand is we gave them this time. We gave them this time. We did. Because we were here in the beginning. We gave them this time to let them rule so we could, it was basically like a lesson for ourselves. So through that time we gave them, we had a loss of information. And through the loss of information is how we fell from grace. There's many different people coming from different angles. But our fall from grace was because of a loss of information. And we lost information over time, and now the information is coming back. But the problem is a lot of our people cannot agree on certain topics, certain events, certain books. And at this point, what matters is we're not going to be the same. We're going to be different, and our people must accept that. We're going to be coming from different angles, different languages, different parts of the world, but we all have similar origins. Our origin is the same, and this is what we can agree on. And the thing about it is, if you want to take it on a European level and an indigenous level, they're on a lesser evolutionary scale than us, because what it is we cannot take in certain foods and certain products because of the way they affect us and what they do to us. So let's take it on a vegetable level, GMOs and things that you guys were dealing with earlier. If you look back in the book of Genesis, in the garden, we did not partake in any meat. The meat came afterwards. And the filtering of the meat came in with the herbs, because we still dealt with herbs around the time of the dietary laws. So, with that being said, if we can get our people to stop condoning in more of the flesh-eating process and the cooking and dealing with the raw process of life, which is actually what liven us up and open up our pineal glands. Because what it is, these pineal glands have to be activated for us to start getting out of the mess we're in. Because these pineal glands are our activation to the Creator. And these pineal glands help us connect to the Father to get the information on a spiritual level, not a level of reading through books and getting information through books. Because the thing about a book is, we're going to use the book, but we are the book. But everybody doesn't have good intentions with the book. That's why the book gets thrown over here, thrown over there, thrown over there, thrown over here. And the thing about a culture is, you can make a cult out of any culture. You can create a cult out of it. So anybody can take a book and create a cult out of a culture. So we must deal with the facts that we must attack the third eye. The third eye would be the pineal glands that need to be activated within our people. And that would come through the things we're putting into our bodies. Because we're connected to nature and the universe and basically the earth. In the ancient world, we were in tune with nature. We were one. And the things we put into our bodies are spiritual. The food is spiritual. People don't understand. That's why they attack you with the food. Because if they can alter the food and make it a mind-altering drug, then it deactivates your pineal gland. Your pineal gland is probably the most important thing on your body, inside of you internally. Because once it's activated, you are opened up. This is where in ancient Kemet, they would have alchemists. People talk about Yahweh Shai, Yeshua, whatever name they want to use. He turned wine, water into wine. That's alchemy. But he got the knowledge from ancient Kemet. You see, and in ancient Kemet, they had scientists, they had mathematicians, they had alchemists. All these types of things existed. But over time, through religions, these things were demonized, and our pineal glands were deactivated because we were working more on instructions to men versus spiritual instructions. So what we must do first is we must attack with this food situation, we must attack it on the spiritual level, which is when we look at it spiritually, this food is affecting us spiritually because it is a spiritual thing. Because the food, we were one with nature. The Creator gave Adam, he gave him dominion over everything. So if you have dominion over everything, you're one with that. So I just wanted to say that. I have more to say in a short while, but we can continue on into the clip.
All right. Well, I'd like to make a comment. Kavai, you have a comment behind that?
Yeah, I thought it was, I thought the information that he gave was really good, especially people don't associate with food being something spiritual. And that's very powerful what he said, and I thought it was good.
Well, I think so. I mean, I think that the information is very informative, and I got another caller on here, area code 352. You know how I feel about alchemy. You know how I feel about Kemet. You know how I feel about the ancient Egyptians. So I kind of differ in my take on it. You know, but like I said, this is a radio show where everybody comes on with their ideas. My personal belief and what I believe the scripts. I believe that, it wasn't an art that he learned. We just talked about the art. The art of alchemy, the Kabbalah, all of those things that are taught in terms of how we process things and how we get things done. I believe the power came from the Most High and that he had the power to do it because he was who he was. So I don't believe that this is just personally me. I don't believe that I don't have to read a book. I don't have to have anybody teach me how to do anything. It's just a matter of believing that he was who he was because I feel like this, when you bring it down to the point where he learned something from someone else, then it takes away the power of him being powerful enough to be able to do those things.
And I mean, I'm like I said, this isn't foreign to me. I hear it all the time. It comes across all the time. And that's why we had this radio show, to bring it all out. Because what we don't want to do, and this is what I'm telling the radio listening audience, is we don't want people to just be limited to one experience and one outlet. Because, you know, when you say one thing and people hear it all the time, people tend to take it as fact, as truth. But you have to be able to hear it from a different perspective in order to understand what it is. Because the scripture said, without thy getting, get an understanding. So on that note, I'm going to ask Erica 352. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, we can hear you.
Okay, for quite a while I've been studying about the Illuminati and the Bilderbergers. And what I've learned about them is, basically, what's going on is the 5%. It's the 5% that run the world. Those are the richest families in the world, and they run the world. And what's happening with them is, first of all, us as Israelites, they hate us. But they don't just hate us as Israelites. They hate the poor, period. So they've come up with all these different kind of, it's called culling. And what it is they mean, they have babies, and their babies have all kind of deformities and all kind of sicknesses. We have babies, and our babies are fine. So they have, and even in poverty, our babies are still fine. So they have decided that it's too many poor people in the world having babies, and there's nothing wrong with their babies. Then they're having babies, and there's all kind of things wrong with them. So they want to cut back on, they don't, all the people in the world, they don't need. They need half of what's here in the world. So they use food, they use water, they have used food, water, and medicine, and they poison it all, and we use it all, and so it's killing us. It's not only killing us, it's killing our children. If you think about it, there's more retarded children in the world now, that the autistic kids, every time you turn around, the number's going up. It's because of the poison that they're putting in the water and the food, and the medicine, and the air. They mean to do away with us. And at the end of the day, if we don't think about what's going on, they're going to do away with us. The thing with McDonald's and that play stuff, the thing that they put in the chicken McNuggets in McDonald's is the exact same thing they put in Play-Doh. It's the exact
that sure
same
is.
Thing. And,
it
yeah,
sure
and
is.
They don't. Yeah, they don't care because their goal is to kill us. So, and by any means necessary, the FDA, they go right along with it because I live in Florida, and every week it's 5 and 6 medicines that they tell the lawyers and saying, if you took this medicine, call in, and you got a case because you got this or that or the other. They lie about everything. My friend was very sick, and she started taking vitamins. And all kind of herbs. Come to find out 10 years later, this is in New York, 10 years later, what they found out is the very herbs that she was buying for 10 years that she thought was making her better, the capsules was made out of pork. So it wasn't really making her better. And then the insulin, insulin had pork in it. And if you look up what they give to children in those shots, I mean, it's blood in the shots, it's mucus in the shots, it's all kind of stuff that they put into these shots because they know, basically, that sooner or later, some kids will live through it, but some kids have a different immune system, and they'll succumb to it, and they'll die. But they go all around the world. They're not just doing it in America, especially in Africa. They go all around the world with these shots, giving it to these indigenous people, and the people die, and nobody says nothing, and they keep it a secret. The government knows this, and we gotta stop. We gotta accept that they hate us and they're trying to kill us. We gotta stop eating their food because only the Most High knows what they really put in the food. The FDA came out about 2 years ago saying that they don't even have to put on the packages if the meat that you're buying is cloned. Now, if that
That's
ain't
right.
down, what do you call down if that ain't down? How dare you think you could sell me some meat and not tell me that it comes from a cloned animal? But because they all down together, they do it. And we sit back and we complain, but we do nothing about it. It's like the vegetable. if they, everybody want to start growing vegetables. But if you're growing the regular vegetables, you it's a waste of time. The vegetables has already been sliced, and they already have the pesticides already built into the vegetables. So if you're not going out here getting full organic vegetables to plant, you're still eating poison. And as far as the water's concerned, I've seen a thing on TV where they tell you point blank all the different stuff that they put in water. And people go out here, they turn the water on the faucet, they make Kool-Aid, they give it to their kids, and then when their kids start blowing up or something, they start getting rashes or they start getting sick, everybody wonder why. And nobody's thinking, oh, it's the water. That's exactly what it is. It's the water.
Mm-hmm.
A year ago, I started talking to my, I'm going to hurry up. A year ago, I started talking to my granddaughter about organic food. And she was like, Grandma, costs too much. She got two kids. Grandma, costs too much. So I told her, I said, go get some food stamps. Let them pay for it. She applied for food stamps, and they gave her a bunch of food stamps because she was in college. My granddaughter, after a while, I started getting her over to my house and feeding my great, these are my great-grandkids, her two kids, feeding them this food. My great-grandson was real hyper. The more organic food, the less the hyper started going away. Right now, today, my granddaughter called me last week. Guess what, Grandma? I'm at Whole Foods, and my shopping cart is full with organic food, and I've been feeding the kids. She's been feeding them the organic food for the last 6 months. Their skin has cleared up. My grandson is no more running around crazy. She don't give them no kind of candy, and she don't let them eat nothing but organic food, and they are two different children.
Wow.
And if,
wow.
If you don't feed me, my granddaughter said, but it costs so much. I said, just feed them less. She went to their school, and she tells their teacher, do not let them give them lunch. So my great-grandson comes home, and he got this stuff on his shirt, and I asked him, who was you eating? And he was like, oh, my teacher gave me some cake. I went up to the school with my granddaughter and got a hold of the teacher in the hallway. He's jacked it. And I said, I'm going to tell you this one time. I'm only going to tell you one time. Do not give my great-grandchildren anything. No candy,
I know that's
no
right.
Milk, no water, anything. And if I have to come back up here before they arrest me, I'm going to stomp you into the ground. My grandson came
home.
They had candy. They had a party, and they wouldn't give me no candy because I put the fear of God in her. And she, I don't care. When they have them little parties, she, her and the other teachers turn her, right? Send them to the office and let them sit in the office, but they don't give them none of that garbage that they're giving the other.
That's right.
Other kids. My
yeah.
Other granddaughter is 10 years old, and she got breasts. 10 years old, and she got breasts. And she don't have breasts like a little girl. She got breasts like a woman. Because my daughter sees all that garbage, and my daughter's not listening. They're trying to kill us. They hate us, and they're using the water. They're using the food. They're using the medicine. I'm sitting in, I go to the hospital, and I got pains in my stomach. And in Florida, they don't really want to tell you what's wrong with you because they don't want you to go get no SSI, so they beat around the bush. So I got this Indian doctor, and I'm like, what's wrong with me? I want to know exactly what's wrong with me. Well, it looks like you might have stomach cancer. Now, I already got heart problems from eating the junk all these years. So I said to him, what you mean it looked like? So he's like, well, I'm not absolutely sure. Well, you need to take some more tests because I need to know what is wrong with me. So basically what happened is he never said what was wrong with me, and I just decided to go to a doctor. 2 weeks later, I'm sitting here, and I'm watching TV, and what do I say? Now, I took Januvia over a year, about 2 years ago, and I took it for 1 month because my blood sugar was so high. And I'm sitting here watching TV, and what does it say? If you took Januvia, get in touch with this doctor because you probably have stomach cancer.
Wow.
Yeah.
From the diabetes medicine?
Yes, Januvia.
Wow.
The diabetes that was supposed to be the new medicine about a year and a half, two medicine. And my doctor said, oh, well, just take it a couple of months because we got to bring it down. We got to bring it down. And I listened to her and my kids telling me, we don't want you to die. And now my stomach, they still ain't told me I have stomach cancer because they think, you know, everybody, if you tell them what they have, they'll run and get on SSI. But I didn't look up in all of the books, and that's exactly what I have, from Genovia. And all
and how do you spell? How do you spell? Sis, how do you spell the medicine? You sound real muffled. I can't really hear you. How do you spell it?
Januvia.
Genovia.
And it's for diabetes, and it's all over the TV now, telling people if you took Januvia, call us. We lawyers will take care of it because it produces stomach. It produces stomach cancer. And I'm like, wow. And I only took it for that short amount of period.
You took it for 2 months?
I took it for about a month and a half, yeah. And the reason I stopped taking it, I stopped taking medicine. But I couldn't get my numbers down on my diabetes, and my kids kept on and bugging me, and that's why I took it. And I took it for about a month and a half, nowhere near 2 months. And now, a year and a half, 2 years later, they got it all over TV, how if you took that, basically, you probably have stomach cancer. And I'm looking up in the books, and it's telling me all of the signs of stomach cancer, and I have them. I have them.
You know what, sis? I'm going to tell you something, because I'm listening to you, and I'm going to tell you something that you said you live in Florida, something that you can do naturally. I used to live in Florida, and I used to wrestle with type 2 diabetes.
That's what I have.
And, well, let me tell you what you can do naturally, because I began to implement some natural things that changed my life. First of all, most people don't understand that organic cinnamon is a natural regulator for your blood sugar. You can take a whole tablespoon of organic cinnamon, and you can boil it on the top of the stove a little bit in some water or whatever, and you can put it in a cup, and you can sip on it all day like a tea, or you can put it in some tea. In the morning, you can drink some green tea in the morning and sprinkle some cinnamon in your tea and drink it without any sugar. And that will automatically get in early in the morning, because that's where you want to get your blood glucose down, sugar levels down. So you want to drink that in the morning. Also, there's something I would do, and I learned this from my grandmother as a young girl. You know, in Florida where you have those trees and you have all that moss that hang down off the tree, the Spanish moss that hang down off the tree.
I have that in my backyard. Yeah.
Okay, well, let me tell you, that is, not only does that Spanish moss will heal asthma, because my grandmother used to have asthma, and she would come down south. We lived up north. We lived in Michigan. So she would come down south. She was originally from the south. So when she would go either to Alabama or Florida, she would grab some Spanish moss off the tree, and she would put it up on the walls in her room, and she also would drink it like a tea. Now I'm gonna tell you how you fix it like a tea, because I used to take it for my sugar, and I'm telling you, it got my sugars down within a matter of hours. It helped me begin to lose weight, because I had carried a lot of weight from having all five of my children, and then it naturally begins to go in and start cleansing your body out. So what you want to do is I used to take a rake, and I would get bags and bags and bags of the Spanish moss off the trees there in Florida when I lived in Florida. I used to live in Southwest Florida, right on the Gulf. So I would take the rake and pull the Spanish moss off the tree, put it in a trash bag. Then I would take it home. You want to shake it as much as you can, shake it out, get the bugs out or whatever. Then I would take it home, and I would rinse it really, really good. And I would put it in, use some purified water, alkaline water. I drink a lot of alkaline water. Put it in a pot. Pour the water, the alkaline water or purified water, on top of the moss, and let the moss boil till you see it boil up where it looks like a tea. And you're going to take it, and you're going to put it in a cup, And if you want to put a little honey in it, I mean, you have diabetes. You know, I would drink all my stuff plain. I didn't put no little sugar or nothing in mine. But I'm just saying some people may need just a little bit for the sake of taste. But it's not nasty at all. And you want to put it in a cup, and you want to drink it. Now, the first time that you drink it, you're going to feel like, oh, my goodness, am I getting high like I'm smoking weed or whatever like that because it's new to your body. But as you drink it, you'll get used to it. If you drink a cup a day, maybe two cups a day, don't drink too much because it's going to have you going to the bathroom so much that you're going to be like, oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness. You're going to literally start seeing it cleanse.
Hello? Savai, you still there?
Yeah, can y'all hear
Hello?
Me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. You kind of beeped out.
Okay. You want to drink a cup in the morning? Is the sister still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, she's here.
What was the last thing you heard me say, sis?
I heard you say two cups a day.
Okay, yeah. Drink about two cups a day. You want to drink a cup in the morning? So I would drink it before you check your sugar. So in the morning, you drink the cup of tea, the cup of Spanish moss tea, and then in about an hour, if you want to check it, if you want to check your sugar before you drink the tea, that will give you a good gauge. So that when after you drink the tea and you check your sugar again, an hour or two later, you'll see the difference because it's going to drop your sugar. It's going to drop it really a lot. So
okay.
You drink that. So get that span. You got a healing. You have a healing property in the trees in the back of your house, and that's how the Creator created it. So you go get your medicine off the tree. You take that medicine and you put it in your house. You rinse it. Do exactly what I told you, and you drink it twice a day. You're going to start seeing yourself. If you have a weight issue, you're going to start seeing yourself lose weight. If you like when my kids would get colds or something, I would give them that Spanish moss tea. My daughter had asthma. I put it in her room, and you could smell the medicine off the moss. When you pull it off that tree, you're gonna smell nothing but medicine.
So
use that, sis, because that is what the Most High have created. The Creator put things in the earth to heal us, and that's what they're trying to stop. Us from
right.
getting what we need.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right.
Hello?
Go ahead. We listening.
I'm going to end this now. But I seen a thing on CNN this morning with the Dr. Goop, whatever his name is, and there's a doctor there with him, and the doctor wrote a book about vitamins and herbs. And he's telling the whole world in this book that supplements is no good and vitamins is no good and herbs is no good and they should be taken off the market. And that's because medicine, these doctors, the pharmaceutical companies, they make agreements with these doctors. And the agreement is that the doctor pushes out their medicine on their patients and they give them kickbacks. And that's exactly what's happening. These doctors know this medicine ain't good. They ain't taking this stuff, and they ain't giving it to their family, but they're giving it to their patients. They're doing everything they can to kill us. But what they forgot is the Most High is the Most High, and they can do all they want to do and all they try to do. But the remnant that's going to be saved, they ain't going to touch them because the Most High is going to protect us because we belong to the Most High. So they can do what they want to do, and some of us will fall, but not all of us. And at the end of the day, the Most High is going to judge them, and they're going to be left with nothing, not only nothing physically or money-wise. They're going to be gone, and we're still going to be here. Tod al Yah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We had somebody that had pushed one, area code 513. If you go ahead and push one again, we'll get you back on. We're sorry, you know, but some people have issues that we need to address right away, and we want to make sure that we hear from everyone. And I can see you call back in. Could you please push one? We would love to hear your comment. Again, we'd like to say that the 2013 annual State of the Nation address is going to be September the 1st, and we are hoping that everyone will register in enough time, especially those Hebrew Israelites that are here in Cincinnati, pass the word. Our website is www.2013annualstateofthenationaddress.com. We're having people coming from all over the country to bring all of their skills and their knowledge into one place, and we're going to sit down and learn the things that we need to do for survival, because our government has already told us that they cannot help us and that we need to prepare ourselves because we are in a recession and things are not getting any better. They're not getting any better, you know, and they're really not getting any better. So, you know, on that note, I wanted to play another clip. Kabai or Maccabi, you guys have anything else you want to say?
I'm good.
Okay, here we go. Now, this is what we were talking about this week, and we want to bring this on board. Here we go.
And when we did that show, it became the number one blog talk radio show in the world for 1 week. But then about 4 weeks later, you had me come back on, and we talked about the Vatican ET connection, which was really kind of just like an add-on conversation, right? And yet that show became the number one blog talk radio show in the world for over a month and stayed in the top 10 for several months. And what it did was it illustrated to Chris Putnam and I that the world is very interested and maybe even can identify more with the idea of the Vatican's interest in extraterrestrial intelligence and even the idea of an alien savior. Maybe they identify with that more than what was more complicated conversation around the prophecy of the popes. And so your fault that we found out that the world was interested in that, but we couldn't have known where it was going to take us. And the very first thing that we decided we needed to do was to try to arrange, and we did, through the Arizona State University, an opportunity to be able to go to Mount Graham, because you can't go there unless you're invited to go there. And you, in fact, you can't get up on the top of the mountain unless you go there with a guard who has a key to the gate, and they get you up there. And anyway, if people want to read about that, they can read about this new Exo-Vaticana series. It's being published right now by Paul over at newswithviews.com. In fact, he has a new part to the series that's over there tonight. I'd encourage people to go over there and read. They'll also be able to find out more about the ongoing investigation in the weeks to come at RaidersNewsUpdate.com. And I promise all will be revealed as we go along. We're actually doing something a little different this time, Steve, in that last time our investigation was finished when we did the radio show. This is almost kind of like right in the middle. We're still waiting on documents. We've got documents that we're supposed to receive the first week of next month that's going to verify some of the material that we're looking at right now. But anyway, the bottom line is the Exo Vaticana, there'll be a new part up again on Tuesday, and that will just keep happening. We've been invited all over the world, including, by surprise, Italian media wanted us to come over to Italy and talk to them about both Exo Vaticana and Petrus Romanus, which we declined for security reasons. You know what I mean, Steve?
Oh, I that was a very wise decision. Yeah. That's kind of like Tom B.
And let me interject a little bit. This is a gentleman that went to Arizona to look at the Lucifer telescope that they have on this mount that you can't get to, that the Vatican and those guys have already put together, and they have it guarded. And this telescope is supposed to be so huge and so protected that they're looking at life forms outside of our Earth and trying to figure out how to interact with these life forces that are outside of the Earth. So I'm fast-forwarding this so we can hear this.
To your mouth. I'm not sure if you got a volume control there or not.
Yeah.
Oh, is that better? We don't want to miss a word. Go ahead.
I'll try to speak up. There's another thing here that I should say that's very important at the outset. The Jesuits at that, and we've gotten feedback from some of the Jesuits even since we launched the Vaticana series, even though the information we got was from the astronomers at that, and since that time with Guy Cosmonaldo, who's one of the top leading Vatican astronomers who has done several exchanges with us in interview. He, too, has said that the world is soon going to look to aliens for their salvation. So this is, it's not like this is a hidden secret, and we're not getting this information third-hand and fourth-hand. We're getting it right from the astronomer's mouth. But the Jesuits at that, one thing that they've been saying publicly, and it needs to be kind of clarified, is that they will deny any part in the naming of that infernal Lucifer instrument at the large binocular telescope next door. Now, we give them that, that they themselves didn't name it, but what they don't point out is how they have access to using it, plus they are an integral part of the whole complex at Mount Graham International Observatory. And as such, they are connected to the very consortium, the German astronomers, that did name Lucifer. And by the way, this is not something I'm yet prepared to talk about. Chris Putnam's doing the investigation on this. But the German consortium are also part of the odious Max Planck Institute. And if that rings a bell with you, Steve, it's because that's the group that gave assistance to the murderous experiments of Nazi scientist Dr. Mengele in the 1940s. But that's a different part. That's a different part, and I'm not yet qualified to talk about that, but that is part of this investigation. Now, in our interview with Vatican astronomer Guy Cosmonalgo, he indicated that the VORG, that's the Vatican Observatory Research Group, now have a new Jesuit point man in the search for alien planets that has access to the use of Lucifer. He told us, I'm just going to quote what he said, quote, "As it happens, one of us, Father Paul Gabor, just finished his PhD thesis work at the Paris Observatory on designing an instrument for a proposed European Space Agency spacecraft mission to search for exoplanets. But his work was in optics, not biology. So he has just moved to Tucson and is developing collaborations with those at the University of Arizona," end quote. So based on Cosmonalgo's statement to us, the VORG have a well-placed insider in the large binocular telescope through their association with the University of Arizona, and therefore also have an ongoing use of Lucifer. So sometimes people will talk in circles because if I was a Jesuit, I too wouldn't want the public connecting me to an instrument called Lucifer that's being used to look at something the rest of the world can't see, but it's a little disingenuous to say we're not part of it because we didn't name it, when in fact you're part of the same consortium in the Mount Graham Observatory community. So I just wanted to make that point very quickly. Now, there's some other very important points before we get out of this first part of this show. This is, again, being investigated by Chris Putnam, who so far has found a great deal of very important information. But that facility, first of all, it really was the brainchild of Jesuit George Koyne, who became the director of the Vatican Observatory in 1978. And in addition to his duties as a Jesuit, he was an adjunct professor in the University of Arizona's astronomy department. That's how he's connected with all these people. He was also associate director of the Steward University there in Arizona. He is a darling of the atheist community. He has appeared with Richard Dawkins advocating a deistic form of Darwinism. He also promotes a radical form of pluralism, the idea that all religions lead to the same God. And you have to understand that this is part of the worldview that is behind their current interest in astrobiology. It's important because in 1980, Koyne is the one that brokered the agreement between the University of Arizona and the Vatican, where Rome would pay a fee so that members of the Vatican Observatory Research Group could use the Steward Observatory at the University of Arizona. So they have this symbiotic relationship with the university where the seminal allies in forming the international consortium that oversees Mount Graham not only includes public institutions like Notre Dame University, a very large group of Italian observatories, and also the Max Planck Institute of West Germany, but this is this part to just remember, consists of these partners, the Vatican, the United States, Italy, and Germany. So when we were at the Large Binocular Telescope, I even asked one of the instrument engineers that was explaining how Lucifer works to us, if the Vatican, or if its astronomers, could make use of Lucifer, or did they make use of Lucifer? And since he wasn't the one that organized it, who used it?
So what do you guys think about that? This telescope that they have, they are using this telescope to find life outside of our world. How crazy is that?
It ain't crazy, because they know that there's life outside of the planet Earth. You know, what they're doing is actually confirming that they already know that there's life outside of planet Earth, although our people on the Earth don't know that there's life outside of planet Earth, and which is a fact. There is. And we're going to begin to see more and more of it, you know, up on the Earth, because they're going to begin to show themselves. So that's not something that is far-fetched at all.
You're right. You're right. The sister is right. They hit a lot of interesting topics. There's something called the Mars Monologue. And what happened was they have found these pyramids on Mars. They have YouTube videos on them. You can find clips on Google. It's on every website. But basically, we want to get deep in certain areas, but a lot of our people aren't ready for them. There's information predating that our people have built pyramids on Mars before we got to this planet. That's why a lot of times when I tell people man outdated this planet or predated this planet, pre-existed before this planet, you know, because a lot of us are spooked by our religion. They think spirituality is invisible. It's not physical. But our bodies are supposed to be in tune with the spirit and become one. This is where they get DC comics from, cartoons like Dragon Ball Z, superhero movies. They get all of these things from the information that getting from certain deities in Hollywood, and they give them the information and they make the movie out of it. Like, for instance, I don't know if anybody's seen the new Superman flick, but in the Superman flick, it's kind of interesting because Superman's father had resided on the planet Krypton. You know the old story going into his origin. But basically, on this planet, they had a council. There was a council involved on the planet. A war broke out on the planet Krypton, and they sent Superman to planet Earth. Now, when you look in the scriptures, they have the Most High and his son, and they draw similarities in movies. And what it is they are in communication, in direct communication with these other beings. We're not, because through food, television, because that's all it is, a box that shows you television, and different media sources, they cut off our pineal glands, is what I spoke about earlier. And we can't save the world through a vegetable, but the things we put into our bodies can help us start to reactivate these pineal glands. Because I may sound way off or deep, but it's not. We have to activate our pineal glands to start to get back in touch with our ancestors so we can get up out of this mess. And we can only do this through the things that we're eating, the way the thoughts we project, because our thoughts are powerful, what we project. We're projections. And this is how we can start to get this information from our ancestors and start to, you know, bring this information back home and release ourselves from this bondage.
by activating these pineal glands. And it's each one teach one. But it's I see it happening on a mass level. And it's working through a process, but this is what we have to do to get up out of this mess because we are, like I said before, it's called the Mars Monologue. You can look it up. They tried to switch it up and say that there were some white men on Mars, which they tampered with that. There were no white men on Mars. It does not exist. It's not real. We built pyramids on Mars. We were there building the pyramids. We had cities on Mars. We were there, us. And this is why I'm telling people, this thing goes back further. It predates this, even this planet. It predates. So we must start to focus on what we're putting into our bodies and the thoughts we project to rearrange this thing. Because they know something in this DNA is activated through our melanin. Melanated people, melanated beings, blah, 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 blah. But the very dark matter that the universe existed in is in melanin. So they know what our DNA holds. And the more we put electric foods into our body, doing different things, releasing ourselves from taking chemicals, over-the-counter prescription drugs and different things like that, then we could, you know, like I said, start to activate these pineal glands and start to reach our ancestors through spirituality and get ourselves up out of this hole.
I want to piggyback off of that. He talked about dealing with the ancestors, and I want to say something concerning the consciousness that is locked inside our DNA, and a lot of times they have dumbed down that consciousness, like he said, and it's all tied to the food, it's tied to the different things that have happened, you know, what they put present before us, but it's in our DNA, even the link back to the knowledge of our ancestors, everything about our ancestors is inside, locked inside of our DNA. The knowledge, the wisdom that the Most High had put inside of us, because we are the book, and it's all linked back to our DNA. So if they can keep our consciousness dumbed down through poisoning the foods, GMO foods, poisoning the air, poisoning the water, and poisoning your psyche with stuff that is presented before your eyes, with stuff that is presented through your ears, because most people don't understand is that through sound waves and music is one of the things that you can't even prevent from coming into your ears. I mean, you can't block sound from coming into your ears. So a lot of times people don't understand you can pass by something. If you heard maybe a car pass by and it's a loud music or some lyrics that are not so good, and then you wonder why later on, man, what in the world is that? Am I hearing that in my head? You know, I wasn't even really paying attention, but your subconscious got it because it came through your ears, and now it's stored in the memory, a subconscious part of your brain. So, I mean, they know this. They know that different things that they do, they present before us, can keep our consciousness dumbed down. They don't want our DNA to be unlocked, because if it is, woe is them, because it's over then. It's over.
And the sisters are making some great key points, like they know things that we should know, we do know. Like the moon is a female deity and the sun is a male deity.
Break it down, Maccabi. Maccabi. Maccabi.
Can't hear them.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yaina, is Yaina there? She might have got knocked off. Go ahead, Maccabi. Break it down. Keep talking. I think she
Can
got.
You hear
we got.
Me?
Now we can
hear
you, Yaina. You there? You there,
yeah,
Yaina?
Yeah, I'm here, Trava. Erico 513, you're on the air. I think Maccabi is gone.
He was still there.
513, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, I was listening to what the brother was saying, and he's very right, because that's why they developed the Blu-ray one. And even when the United States went to Iraq, they went over there to get the Stargate. That's why Iraqi had an elite army force. So they got mm-hmm. their hands on it now. It wasn't just for oil.
Wow. Okay.
Now let me ask you this. Do you believe in the Anunnaki? I don't know too much about the Anunnaki, but I do believe there's other life forms outside of this realm.
Okay.
And I do believe excuse me.
Go ahead. We're listening.
Oh, that's why they was making these movies like Logan's Run and Stargate, Atlantis, Stargate this, Stargate that. That was because they was in search of that Stargate, and they found it in Iraq, and that's basically why they went over there. It's got people thinking it was for oil and domination, but it was for that Stargate.
And you know what? That's the
issue that we had, because the sister that we were talking to and the brother that we were talking to this week, they were from a specific blood type, and they were from a specific blood type called Rh negative, and they consider themselves to be the blue blood, and that they are a part of the Iraqi history from the Babylonians and the Sumerians and Zachariah Sitchin and the Anunnaki. And the Anunnakis were they looked half human and half reptilian, and they called it the reptilian seed. So when I hear a lot of people talking about, you know, the Stargates and the this and the that, there are Stargates all over this earth that the ancient astronauts came into to visit this planet that we call fallen angels or ancient deities. But when it comes to Israel, they have nothing to do with us as a people, because we were chosen specifically by the Most High to be his chosen people, and we have his power. So I wanted Maccabi to kind of clear up who are the ancestors that he's talking about that we have connections to, and I'm waiting for him to call in, because a lot of
Yaina,
this sounds real similar.
Yaina,
yes,
Yaina, he's on the line with me, because he said they just cut him off. Of course, you know, that's what they do when somebody gives them some knowledge out. So I got Maccabi merged in with me. Maccabi, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, we got cut off.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
okay,
brother, are you finished? Were you finished, 513?
Yes, I'm finished. I'd like to hear what the brother has to say, because he write about them, the land on Mars and the pyramids. He definitely is right. He on point. Praise the Most High.
Okay, go ahead. So we listen. Go ahead, Brother Maccabi.
Okay, the thing about our ancestors is I seen a radio show about a month ago, and what they did was this. They had a radio show on the Anunnaki. Now, you can find the Anunnaki in the scriptures. I'm trying to pull my information out, and I'll see how I could correctly coordinate everything. But what they did was, this is what they did. There was a guest on the show with the host, and he says, well, what is the description of the Anunnaki? And he says, they say that they were about 8 feet tall, and they had blonde hair, blue eyes, and white skin. Now, this is false, because if that was true, then where would we come from? You know,
do you believe that we came from the Anunnaki?
Well, this is what I do believe. I believe that they were a process in the Creator's process, because these books, I don't think that with the research I've done, I don't think that they're the end of the story. I think that they're the link, the black hole, like the link to us getting to this full manifestation of the knowledge. Once we get to that link, then everything else can open up. Because
So let me ask you this question. So do you believe that we're from the that make it? Because I did a little study on the Anunnakis, and the Most High sat me down and taught me about all of it. I mean, I know about Enki, Enlil, Inanna, and the seven royal brothers that were supposed to come. Do you believe that they were instrumental in our creation?
I believe they were instrumental in our creation on both sides.
So then if you believe that they were instrumental in our creation, so you believe that they came and created us, and that Adam was not created by the Creator?
No. That story is tampered with. See, what we got to understand is this level.
Okay.
That story, like I just told you, there was a radio show, and they rearranged the description of them.
Yaina, can you hear me? Say it again,
yes,
Maccabi. Say it again. Keep going, Maccabi.
Oh yeah, the radio show told you about a few minutes ago. They rearranged the description of the Anunnaki. So they just like they tamper with the Bible, they would tamper with that. They tamper with everything. So we cannot put anything past these people or tampering with any group of information. So when I say they were involved on both levels, what I'm saying is, When they give you the story about how they created us, and then they created us to do a certain thing, and then we sprouted out from them and then took it from there, then you would have to take into effect, if you create something, then whatever created you will have a creator. So everything works in the image of what it was created for before. So if they're giving you a story about Enlil and Enki and them creating Adam to be a slave and then having slave workers and slave miners, then they would be a slave to the image that created them before. So what you had to do is you had to take into account how these stories are being manipulated into basically getting us to where we are now, to basically saying we control you. You cannot do anything without us. So if you go back and see the manipulation of every story through history, it's all about force and control and them basically snatching away a physical being's free will. And that free will would be to live under the – go ahead, I'm with you.
Can I ask you a question then, Duel? Are you Are you a part of the RH negative bloodline? Are you a part of the royals?
I could only go as far as back as my research has gone with my family. I'll deal with my father's side first. My father's side, I have direct links to Zulu on my father's side. And on my mother's side, there's actually Black Choctaw and Black Seminole natives in Florida, Mississippi, Louisiana. So this is just predating the information I have thus far.
And see that knowledge is good, and you know, I'm glad that you're on the show, because the Most High brought you on the show, and I think that knowledge is good, you know, to get the information out there. But at the same time, you know, I don't agree. I really don't. I have to say something because I don't agree, and this is the stuff that we have to educate Israel about. I am completely in disagreement with it, because I do not believe that we were created by Enlil, Enki, Nana, Inanna, Utu, and
I didn't say we were created by them. I didn't say that.
Let me say my point. I don't believe we had any connection to do with them at all. I believe they are the fallen angels that came here to bring their story, and I believe that they left their imprint in humanity. Because the reason why I say that is because the people that Kavah and I came in contact with this week were directly associated with the Anunnaki through the RH negative bloodline, and they consider themselves to be the royals. Now, I know the story. I know about Kwasi Kwodo. I know about and the Anunnakis. I know about Kali, all of the deities all over the world in every civilization that have the same story in the imprint. And that's what I'm saying. When you talk about power and knowledge, I'm leery about that because, you know, they came to teach knowledge. And I know about the pineal gland. I know all about it. I know where it's located at. I know how small it is. And I know that it cannot be activated except that you use certain instruments to activate it, that it's only activated naturally two times, and that's at birth and at death. And that's when that spirit realm is open. Now, people do take DMT to go on a trip with the pineal gland and to be able to go into other dimensions and to go into different stargates. But at the same time, if you've got to initiate it yourself, is that really the Most High? I mean, you know, because
Go ahead.
The scripture, I feel like this. The scripture, the Bible, it's been tampered with, but so has all the rest of the books been tampered with to me. Because I have to stand firm on that word, and yes, it's been tampered with, but it's strong enough. That word is strong enough where it produces what it needs to produce, and the prophetic comes out the way it's supposed to come out, and it is revealed the way it's revealed. And when people come with new truth or new knowledge or this hidden knowledge and mystery, I just can't let. I mean, you know, but I mean, you know, hey, I'm just wanting to.
No. Listen. That everything's fine. Listen, because at the end of the day, here's what it is. First of all, we have to. I've been listening to you, but what you just said, you've been saying everything I said in a different way. We're saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when I said I never gave them responsibility for creating us, you asked me what did I think. I said, okay, they were involved on both sides. All right, and then
mm-hmm.
you're dealing with the scriptures and the scriptures being tampered with. So I'm not in disagreement with you. But the point I'm trying to make is because I don't agree with the fact of taking certain things and travel here and travel there and travel. I don't agree with any of that. But what I'm saying is here we have to deal with here, reality, what we're dealing with now. What we have here now and the point we're at now from the origin we came from, that's what I'm dealing with. And what I'm saying is for us to get back there, to get back to a natural state of life, we have to do certain things in this realm. I ain't talking about traveling to other realms and coming back. That's going to take too much time, and that's going to take too much. We need to deal with what we can do here and here now to get back to where we came from, and that's what I'm saying. And then that means we will have to be honest about the things that have been tampered with and the information that has been distorted. And that means we will have to take into account how much responsibility we have because of all that we contributed to. We contributed to a lot more things than we did before this earth was here. And the information is being hidden from us because if they could keep us in a certain box, a religious box, then they could still control us. Because what is it? If I could control you, then you can control somebody else, and the cycle goes on and on and on and on and on. But if we're dealing with things from an originality standpoint and an origin, then we would have to take responsibility for all the mess that was here that was created through us. Now, that doesn't mean that the creator doesn't exist, because how would all of this exist anyway? How would we procreate if the creator didn't exist? There would have to be a process involved. So what I'm saying is we have to recognize the responsibility that was given to us from the Creator in the origin of things, like we're dealing with the origins of cooked food, the origins of raw food versus flesh-eating foods. And then you have disagreements between Hebrews who say, well, how can we keep the Passover if we don't eat lamb? How are we going to be vegans and not eat lamb? See, we're all over the place, but we have no origin. We're not dealing with the origins of things. And this is what I'm saying. I'm not giving the Anunnaki credit for our creation because that would be, like I said before, they have a process that existed before them. See, they were just a part of history. Everything we're dealing with is just a part of history. And I'm pretty sure all you guys know that yes, there was a black woman, a sister, who created the story of the Matrix. The sister was very enlightened. There were levels to the Matrix. Every time he got to a certain level and he thought he was out of the Matrix, they told him there was more levels he had to go through. So this is what we're dealing with here. There's are levels that we have to pass through to get back to where we came from. And if we cannot raise our consciousness to get past these levels, we cannot get up out of this mess that we're involved in. So we have to push things to the limit and really dig deep. And the Most High is giving us leeway to do it through the internet. And that's why they're trying to shut all these things down, because if this information really gets out there, then there's nothing standing in our way. There's no Illuminati. We won't have Illuminati conversations. The Illuminati is there. The Illuminati is a process, because it's like police. They need crime to keep the police going. If there's no crime, the police don't have a job. These people are dramatic. They run through drama, dramatic scenarios. You know, they cannot live in peace without dramatic scenarios. And our originality was peace. We were one with, we were in tune with nature. We were one with society. You see, like now, I don't have any disputes with any brother or sister in any religion. It's because what? We still have the same creator and the same origin. You could be caught up in whatever you're caught up in, but eventually you have to come up out of that. You have to. I can't make you come up out of it. The next person can't. It's just going to happen, because this is something we go through as people. If you look at every text in history, everything we were caught up in, we were forced into. Everything. Even when we got to America, we were forced into every religion they had us involved in. So I don't want you to feel like in any way I'm coming from a different place. I'm coming from somewhere deep, and it sounds this way, but what I'm saying to you is I agree with where you're coming from, but our people have to push it to the limit, because the Most High is deep. We cannot say we're connected to the Father and not get deep. The Most High is infinite to our thoughts. The Most High is deep, so we have to get deep.
Okay. I mean, you know, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, because I want to open up the radio. I mean, this phone lines to other people. If anybody want to push one, you know, please push one and give a comment. I mean, I hear what you're saying, Maccabi, and you know, I'm taking
it all.
Well,
no, I'm with you, sure. Hey,
you know,
we're good. Like, we here, we good.
I'm good. You know, I'm good. We good. It's just that, you know, like I said, I'm around it so much, and I hear it so much. I mean, you know. Whether it comes in, you know, tomatoes or tomatoes, I hear it so much that
it's
tourism. I mean, you know, it really is. And let me say something about religion. I agree with you 100%. I'm not in church anymore. I don't do church anymore. But there is a spiritual component, and there's a supernatural component to what we believe as Hebrew Israelites. Now, I feel when we deal with the book, because, you know, I read all kind of books and I study all kind of information. I spent years studying this stuff. And when we deal with the book, and when people start talking about higher levels of consciousness and tapping into the divine and making sure we know what source we're from and all those little buzzwords, those little key words, you know, all of that sounds real good at the end of the day, and they trying to control us, and we got to get out of the control, and there's knowledge out there that they've held from us in books that they don't want us to read about. All of that's a manner of control as well, too, because if you hold something back from a people and you think something is being held back, it only increases your desire to want to know. That's what curiosity does. So at the end of the day, after it's all said and done, we still face with a book, and a book that gives us a path. And even though the book been tampered with, and I will say scriptures are out of place, things have been put in, but at the end of the day, I still believe in Yahweh Shah. I still believe that he is who he said he was, and that the path by faith, believing in him, you know, that he came to bring us back into immortality is what the whole thing is all about.
I don't need to read about Enki and Emery on them other than to let me know that they were a part of this earth and they came here to do what they did, because it was 200 angels that came down on Mount Hermon and said, and gave the oath with Semyaza that they were going to taint the bloodline. It was 200 of them that did this before Lucifer slept with Eve and created Cain. So the seed's been in the earth for however long. Those 200 angels came down and did what they did, and they produced the bloodline or the seed line that they produced. So at the end of the day, the power that we tap into is the Ruach. The knowledge that we get is from the Ruach. Because the Holy Spirit, for those who don't know what the Ruach HaKodesh is, the job of the Holy Spirit is to lead and guide us into all truth. I'm real leery about the divine and the coming into consciousness and the higher level of consciousness, because that, when I look at the people that say that, when I look at their character and when I look at their attitudes, and when I look at how they carry themselves, there's no way they will tell me that they've tapped into the pure source of Yahuwah, because you know what that source is? That's love. And at the end of the day, if you don't have no love for me, and I'm not talking about you in particular, I'm just speaking on general to people that come across my desk, Hebrew Israelites that have come across desk, that say they tapped into this pure source, and they have this pure advantage, and they have this mystery. It's nothing but, let me tell you what it is. It's the school of mysteries dressed up under another name. It's the Egyptian school of mysteries dressed up under another name that they sliding into Hebrew Israelism, and then they naming it the power of Yah. And that's a lie from the pits of hell, because we don't need no mysteries. If we got the Ruach, the pure power of the Most High, we don't need no books. It ain't no book
you're making some good points, sister. And the thing is this. At this point, I don't.
You know, at the end of the day, that's my opinion.
No.
That's just my opinion. No offense. That's just my opinion. At the end of the day, you know, I much love for you. That's just my opinion. At the end of the day, you know. And we're going to go on. Anybody have a comment? Please push one. If we have a comment, if you have something you want to say, comment or concern, you know, we all have 8 minutes before we go into overtime. And we want to also announce the 2013 State of the Nation Address. The website is www.2013annualstateofthenationaddress.com. We'd like for you to register online. And, you know, we'd like to hear what your comments are, because, you know what, I've heard a lot of people with this tap into your pineal gland, and they taking all these extra trips, and they calling this stuff the Ruach, and it's like, really? I mean, real talk. I want to know if anybody has a comment or concern about it at all, because from what I study, it's the school of the mysteries. It's the school of mysteries that was taught in Egypt, that they're re-infiltrating in our culture, and they're calling it Yahuwah's power. Now, I might be wrong. Somebody might have something they want to say on that. Please feel free to push one and make a comment. But at the end of the day, you know, that's just what it seems like to me. I'm going to open up the mic, area code 804. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you. My name is JoJo. I'm calling from VA Richmond.
Yes, sir.
And I had the opportunity to go to Egypt, to Upper Egypt.
Yes, sir.
To Luxor.
Mm-hmm.
But I went over there to break bread with the Hebrew family, right? And it ended up being a nightmare, you know. They was up in Alexandria, so I left. And I went on up there where the black people was, you know. That was the first thing in my mind. Why y'all over here around white people? Why you up in the true upper room? You know, where the niggas at? You know, that's what I don't understand about black people. You know, try to be around your own, man, and use your imagination, you know. And I stayed over in Egypt amongst them black people. It was a wild experience, you know. Temples everywhere, you know. But I want to ask, I want to bring this question to the table. What do y'all think about Upper Egypt and on up to Hurghada, the Red Sea, and everything?
I really don't know a whole lot about that. Maybe Brother Maccabi can say something about that. But when you said temples, what kind of temples was it? Were they pagan temples? They're still worshiping under pagan temples?
See, sister, this is what I'm saying, right? See, this in Africa. You know, white people ain't got nothing to do with this. And see, before all of these, I want to ask you, have you heard of Walter Williams? The other brother probably heard of Walter Williams.
Yeah, see, I know who you're talking about. I know who you're talking about.
And see, we got to put our spy work in on everything and start using our imagination. It said, ask and you shall receive. But if you shutting yourself down and you refuse to do the spy work, how could you be there with the NSA or you know, United States intelligence? You got to put the spy work in on everything and put your emotions aside, sister. Please.
I understand. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, but you know what it is. It's not just one group. And this is the point I was trying to make. Because I understand the sister's frustration. That's why I listen. Because like you too, sister, I told Sister Kavah about it, but I've experienced the same things you experienced with Hebrew Israelites. Bad experiences. But what I'm saying is, I have to analyze it from an outside point of view, take myself out of the equation and say, well, why are my people doing these things? Why are they in the condition they're in? And why are they so this way and that way towards each other? And the thing about it is, like I said previously, we must learn how to put our differences aside. Because one thing is this. I'm explaining about getting deep. It's because I'm not talking about worshiping different religions or getting involved in different things or doing these things. I'm talking about getting deep as far as the book goes, research goes, how the book has been tampered with and different things that predated. And so what I'm saying is, within all of that, we still have to take the point in fact that they set up the disagreements amongst our people. They set this up specifically so that we could go against each other and that we would not have any unity. Because with unity, what happens? They cannot stop us. What did they do? And there was a legislation down in Louisiana they did when the black natives met with the Negro natives down in Louisiana. They split them apart and they wouldn't let them link up because they felt like they would be too powerful against the Europeans. They felt like they would be too powerful. So with us working together, what I'm saying is we have to, first of all, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to accept each other's differences. I just spoke to a pastor last week, and I told the pastor, and I let him know straight. I said, listen, I will not be conforming to your religion, but you are a brother, and if we can talk peaceably about working towards getting our people out of certain scenarios, I'm okay with that. And we must start approaching our people in manners of, our people are going to be caught up in many different things, but they're going to come out of these things. They're going to come out of these things. They're not going to stay there because we are involved in the matrix.
Maccabi, let me make an announcement quick. We have 1 minute
ahead,
and 34 seconds before we go into overtime. So if there's anybody that wants to call in, please have them call in right now because we're down to like 90 seconds. And once we reach 5:30, they won't be able to be a part of the show anymore. If you drop after 5:30, you will not be able to dial back in. So we ask that we have quite a few callers on the line. So we ask that you guys, if you want to be a part of it, just stay on the line and then have those that need to call in, call back in. Go ahead, Brother McCarvey.
Okay, and there's something I want to get into. You made some comments earlier about Yahweh Shai, and basically the Most High is the reason why I said we're saying the same thing in different ways is because if I go deeper in two things, if you look back in the Hebrew text and in different texts, this is why learning different languages and learning what books were tampered with is important, because Yahweh Shai was there in the beginning, and this is what I was trying to get at. Yahweh Shai was there in the beginning. He was there in the beginning before all these things started, the Anunnaki, everything. So what I'm saying is we are not dealing with the origins of things. We're dealing with certain time periods to where things happen, and it's affecting our thought process and the way we view things. Because if you look at all the different Hebrew groups, all the different Christian groups, the black Muslims, black conscious groups, and all these different groups, they're all in a position to hate one another and think that their thing that they're involved in is the best thing out. When the government doesn't care if you are a light-skinned Negro, a dark-skinned Negro, a fair-skinned, a brown-skinned. I mean, they put us all in the same box. We put each other in different boxes while they sit back and control everything from one source. So this is why we must put our differences aside. We're not all going to come from the same page, because we were scattered amongst the earth. We have to understand that one, first and foremost. We're going to come speaking different languages. You have black people in Colombia, black people in Mexico, light-skinned. There are people all over the place. So first of all, we have to be more accepting of our brothers and sisters without conviction and judgment, because we don't know that our brothers and sisters have been through the same things we've been through, just a different part of the land. And this is how they attack us. This is how they get us and make us feel like what we're doing is so much more important than the other. Because if we could put our differences aside, I know it sounds far-fetched. It does sound far-fetched. But this is the power of thought and the each one teach one and motivation. This is how colonies got started. Nations, no nation got started without a single thought. And the thought progressed, and then people latched on to the thought, and then a nation became. Nations were overthrew by one thought. You know, this isn't right. And then the thought progressed. So we cannot take the fact that the thought is so little that it can't be accomplished. We're more than that. We're more than that of a people. And we have to stop going against each other and start working together and put our differences aside to work for a better contribution.
I agree with you, Maccabi, and let me say something.
Go ahead, sister.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree with you at all. I agree with you.
Right.
The unity part, I completely agree with. You know, and I'm not emotional to the point where if I come across like I'm angry, you know, that is not my intention to get angry. All I'm saying.
You good, sister. I understand
that,
your frustration.
Know,
like I told you, I understand.
I'm not frustrated. I'm not frustrated at all, and that's why I want to clear up. I'm not frustrated at all. My issue is that, you know, when you do extensive studies, and I'm sure you have because you seem very knowledgeable, as I have
right.
done extensive studies, and when you understand the truth and from the perspective that you understand truth, because everybody processes information very differently,
right.
my mind is not closed to power. My mind, it's for the brother that made the comment that I had to open up my mind. My mind is not closed to power. The only
right.
thing that I'm saying is that in dealing with certain information, it is apparent from experience and from research that it is what it is. I mean, you know, I know we're not going to all... We got people that are going to... We have Israelites in Egypt that were raised in Egypt, that live in Egypt. We have Israelites in India that was raised in India, that live in India. They're going to bring their culture with them. They're going to bring the culture with them from the native land that they were raised in, and they have
right,
incorporated
right.
the culture into the
right.
belief of the system of Hebrew Israelism is what I'm saying. And when you bring this culture and you begin to teach this culture as an alternative energy, or a mystery that we have not had access to, that's when I can't sit back quietly and say, well, yeah, that is true because we've been controlled. The whole earth is under control. The whole earth is, everybody's under control, not just the Hebrew Israelites. The whole earth is under control and under siege when you know the entities that you are dealing with. And that's all I'm saying. When I hear certain buzzwords like divine, higher level of consciousness, different things like that, you're right. We have been dumbed down. We have definitely been dumbed down. But at the end of the day, when I hear certain words, you know, I know that that is the school of the mysteries that were taught in ancient Egypt and that have been taught all over the world. And that
should trigger,
I mean, you know,
yeah, I know it triggers something. I know.
And when you go into the Book of Enoch and you understand those 200 angels that came and taught the arts to the women, they taught arts to the women. And specify what they taught to them. That's still being taught today. And some people would bring
right.
it in like, hey, I have a power that you don't have. Let me show you how to do it. It's because we've been dumbed down that you don't know how to do it. And all I'm saying is that's not true. The power that we possess is in our tongue. Because the scripture said that power of life and death is in the tongue. And the power, the resource that we work from, and all I'm saying is the Ruach HaKodesh. That's all. That's my only issue is that right there. I mean, you know, I've
read many
of the manuscripts and books and stuff.
I'm with you. Yeah.
So that's my only
with you. Like I said, I'm with you. And
you know what? A lot of these Hebrew Israelite men and women have professed. To have this special, unique power. And like I was telling Kavad, you know, this morning when we were talking, you know, take Elisha, for example. Elisha was able to speak, and men were just instantly killed. They died. Off of the word that he spoke, they fell dead. I mean, really, he called fire down when he was on Mount Carmel, which I believe he did, in front of Jezebel's prophets. And did what he did according to the word, and it worked. You know, and he had all of the abilities to be able to do this thing. But then you got you fast forward to today, and you got the brothers that are in Hebrew Israelite that are sincere, and then you got those other ones that claim to have tapped into this power, and they have all these abilities to be able to do these things. But then at the end of the day, that character is ugly. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that Elijah is perfect, because he had issues
and that's, too. And that's what I was trying to explain to you earlier. The reason why, you know, I was speaking about the history and unity, because it goes in the one. It's interesting that you're bringing up these brothers and sisters. I dealt with these people firsthand. You know, I could have took it anywhere. I could have said, you know what, I ain't gonna deal with the Hebrew Israelites no more. This and that. But I got treated very unfairly by some unruly people. And, you know, these people were professing they could fly and do all these things. But, see, I'm dealing with reality, and this is my point. We must first attack what the problem is, this food we're dealing with and the information that is being kept from us. And if we deal with these basic things and the basic necessities of life, information and the things you put into your body, help you tap into different resources. I know sometimes when it's a trigger. When certain words you hear, there is a trigger because certain words trigger me. So I understand where you're coming from. And like I said, I've dealt with these people. Sister Kavar knows certain cases these people have done. I've seen them do crazy things, you know. But I'm not in that realm dealing with those people, and I don't deal with the frequencies of those people because they have a lot of demons on them. What I'm dealing with specifically is we must first and foremost, we must teach our people how to be more unified and put our differences aside because we're not all going to be the same. Like you said earlier, we learn differently. We're not coming from the same perspectives. But we all come from the same creator, and we're all one people. And we have to put these differences aside to move forward. We have to. If you look at other nations, they work together. Go ahead. Somebody want to say something?
No, I just wanted to say, you know, a lot of the people were talking about they astral project, and they can astral project themselves. And like I was telling Kavah, as powerful as Elijah was and had the power to call that power down, when Jezebel was after him, he didn't astral project himself into the mountain. He ran like a man. And, you know, when you really look at the simpleness of the word and you understand the simpleness of the word and the simpleness of humanity, it's just kind of suspect to me when all of a sudden, because you know yourself, when the enemy wants to do something, he masks himself as an angel of light. He comes in as a power. And it's just kind of suspect to me when people start talking about alternative source of power and secret knowledge that don't nobody else have, you know, because ain't nothing a secret. There's nothing new under the sun. Everything that has been has been already. And that's Ecclesiastes 1 and 9. It says history repeats itself. That's what it does. So when you deal with this, this is the thing that got us in trouble in the first place. This is what got us in the first place, dabbling with mysteries and knowledge.
Well, the thing about it is those people speaking on astral projection and different things like that, ain't nobody going nowhere. Like I said earlier, we're dealing with reality. Only place they're going is somewhere in the subconscious, and they got to wake up unless they die. So this is my point. They can say all these things they want. See me, I'm a realist. I'm going to deal with the research and the facts. Where we came from and what we got to do to get back to the state of royalty. That's what I'm going to deal with. All these other things people want to get into, astral projection, teaching people this, this, and that, they can do what they want. But that's just talk, mumbo jumbo to me. So my point is this. What can the people unify on, and what information that we lost can we get back that will help us? These are the main things I'm dealing with. You see, when they want to get into all these other things and different things they want to do and leave and come back and all that, that's them. But me, personally, I'm dealing with this specifically. The information we need to get back to the state, our natural state, and unity. And these things are keeping us from moving ahead. They're keeping us from moving ahead. So, but that said, I definitely understand where you're coming from. And I understand why certain things would trigger you, because like I said, I was in direct link with certain Hebrew Israelites that was talking about they could fly. Some of them thought they were Paul and Peter. I'm telling you, I know these people. These people are crazy. A lot of them are on drugs. They were on drugs before they started reading the Bible. See, me, I like to keep it real. So, the point of the matter is we have to start putting our differences aside, and the people that are willing to work with us to get to the state we need to be in, we have to start putting these things into action to get ourselves up out of this hole, because the Most High has given us all the resources we need to get out of the hole. We just have to tap into the resources. Everything is here for us, everything.
That's true. I agree with you. And then on that note, then we don't have a disagreement. I just like to make sure that the field is leveled, and we have quite a few people on the line. If you want to push one, or you have a comment, or you want to make a topic you want to talk about, please don't hesitate to push one, because you know Maccabi and I are having this conversation, and we didn't just kind of push Kavah out of the whole picture. But you know, this is interesting to me, because you know, when you take the time and you study something, and you take the time and when you have dealt with evil and you know how evil masks itself, and evil is very tricky. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You look like, no, that ain't what that is. You know, you look like a duck and you got all the attributes of a duck, but for real, you a snake. And I mean, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean when I say that. Like you said, people that have issues and they are trying to project themselves to others like they have tapped into this so-called power. And it's like, really? Okay, well, if you tapped into the power and you have the power to be able to do what you say you should do, then your whole attitude should change. And most people aren't. I mean, the real raw source of the Yahuwah is love. It's love.
It's love. I mean, I even had one sister tell me that Yahawashah had negative blood. And I'm like, there's no way he had negative blood. I mean, you know, it's just a lot of stuff out there, Maccabi, that we have to, as believers and as Hebrew Israelite and as people that have studied and have knowledge, there are things that we have to present to people different from what everybody else is presenting. Or everybody will think that all of us think the same way.
Right, right, right. And the information, learning different information and different things is all research is research, and it just merely meant to make sure your knowledge to just it does talk about showing yourself, approved study, showing yourself, you know. So you have to do some type of form of study, but that doesn't make us better or worse. It's just information, informative, and it allows us power. But back to what you said, the initial thing is the love, and love comes from unifying. We have to work together and put differences aside, because our people are very emotional. And a lot of times, not you, this is not about you. I'm saying the people I've dealt with.
Oh, good.
That I've had bad experiences with, they were very emotional. Like I would hear brothers argue over how to speak the name. You know, they get in big debates and want to fight in the streets, fighting each other. You know, and that's just not right. You know, you don't say the name like this, and don't read this word like this. Or this is not pronounced like that. And if I'm from the north and you're from the south, obviously we have different dialects. We're going to speak words differently. The words, we may say the same word, but it may come out differently because of how we were raised and the land we were raised. Someone may speak Spanish. Someone may speak Creole, Patois, different things. But we cannot let that get in the way of us progressing and moving forward. And when you talk about Yahawashah, this is what he was about. One thing I want to mention, when he says he who is without sin cast the first stone, when they accused the woman, think about this, where was the man that they accused her of being with?
That's true. He was standing right there, probably.
You see?
He probably was standing right there.
So that's my point.
So let me ask you a question. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you good. Go ahead. Any question? Go ahead.
I just wondered, do you believe that, you know, because Edgar Cayce is another one of the prophets from the other nation that has said that the history of our origin was at least the city of Atlantis, this is what they believe, was lost. A portion of it was lost when it went into the ocean, and then a portion of it is under the right paw of the Sphinx, and then another portion is somewhere else. Do you believe that our origin, or because you say we need to get back to where we were from, are you talking about psychologically, or are you talking about physically, and do you believe that our origin is actually hidden in Egypt under the left paw of the Sphinx?
I believe that's a part of our origin, and the first text you said psychologically we need to get back, and that means we need to deal with things on the psychological level and break this Willie Lynch process. That's first and foremost what I think we should do. We should break this Willie Lynch process of tearing each other down, because that really put a hold on us, and I think even Willie Lynch didn't know how psychologically how far this thing would go, because we're still dealing with this thing today. So I think it first and foremost is psychologically. The story of Atlantis has been tampered with in many ways, so that furthermore is going to be very debatable, because there's many different aspects on the story of Atlantis. Europeans have their own aspect, indigenous people have theirs. At this point, research is only telling us that it's just a just a location that certain people did exist, but I cannot say that is our true origin or existence. Now, as far as ancient Kemet goes and ancient Sumeria, there were different lines of Kemet and Sumeria. Not all were bad and not all were good, but our people have been involved in that process, and we were brought out of that. And when we were brought out of that, we took certain things. Moses took certain things. Many of our people took certain things out of that. Some people wanted to go back. But how do you move forward? You move forward by going backwards. Not going backwards in the sense of where we're not supposed to go, but actually learning what we lost to see, well, this is where we went wrong, so we don't make the same mistake again, because history does repeat itself. And this is the last go-around. We won't be dealing with these issues anymore, because we have to get it right this time. We have to. So I hope, I don't know if I answered your question correctly, yet I hit the points you needed me to hit. You could let me know.
Yeah, I mean, you did. I mean, you did. I mean, you know, when you talk about our origin was from Egypt and our history is under the left paw of the Sphinx, as you say, Kemet, you know, and dealing with the Egyptians and all of the things like that, you know, again, you know, from my own research and from what I have researched, you know, I have a different point of view when it comes to that. I do. So, I mean, you know.
Well, no. Like I said, I think that's a part of our origin. And I think it's a part of our origin, and I don't think we should deal with it specifically on levels of what we're not supposed to be doing because of the. Basically, what I'm trying to say is just let me be more clear. The Father instructed us not to do certain things we were taught in that land. In a certain part of that land, in a certain part of that land's history, we were not supposed to be participating in certain activities. That's correct. This is a part of history and a part of the origins of the world. But that doesn't mean we should go back and start doing things that we weren't supposed to do. You know, if somebody used to be a bank robber and they changed their life, that doesn't mean they should go back and start robbing banks. They're going to end up in the same position they were before, you know? So it's not so much about us going back and doing what we used to do. It's so much about where did we go wrong. That's what it's about. And when we start dealing with those things, we can deal with the fact that I'm in total agreement. The scriptures are real, but the scriptures are mingled, and different people have disagreements or agreements. But basically what I'm saying is there is an origin to everything. There's an origin to all things. And through the origin of certain deities and societies and history, you have had bad things that have happened along the way. Even with us, the Hebrews, when and bad things that happened with the tribe of Judah. You can look at that in the Apocrypha, which you've already read. Different things that happened to us over time. Things and time periods when we went off, when we were doing different things and going. But that does not mean we can't learn about it, because when we're learning about it, we're learning about what we did wrong to get in the positions we're in now. And that's what we must take into account. The Father is disciplining us right now. We're in a disciplined state. And when you're in a disciplined state, when you have children, if you want them to clean their room, you come home and say, you clean the room, because you have to learn the lesson. If I clean the room for you, you're not learning your lesson. So we have to clean up our mess that we made, and the Father is going to release us. He's going to reward us and put us back in our natural state if we just stop the foolishness that we're doing amongst camps. And you got camp members out here fighting each other, cursing each other out on YouTube, and calling each other niggas, and the Most High going cursing. You know, it's a lot of negative, evil, devilish things going on, and our people are caught up in division. And this division comes from the slave master,
the slave master splitting us up in different parts of the land and splitting us up from light skin, dark skin, fair skin, brown skin. This is where this division. You are a house Negro. You're a field Negro. And we still latch on to this division, and today we use this division amongst each other while they sit back and collect all the gain and capital. But if we just believe in each other and believe in the Most High, we can release ourselves from this bondage and start working together. They cannot stop us. You know, we must not fear anything. The scriptures tell us that. We must not fear because they cannot stop us. They can't. They work through fear. This is what they do. They did it when we were caught up in Christianity. You were afraid to go to McDonald's, afraid to go out to eat with your family. Everything you do is going to make you go to hell.
That's true. And you know what? On that note, I have an area code 5352. Go ahead, you're on the air. Hello, area code 352. Hello.
Yes, shalom. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you.
What I believe is a little different from what y'all are saying. I'm going to make it quick. What I believe is that the Most High created Adam and Eve, just like it says in the Tanakh. In the process, Adam and Eve sinned. They went along with Satan. They did what they did. And Cain and Abel came out of that. Cain belonged to Satan. Abel belonged to the Most High. I think that throughout history, it's starting back then that the fallen angels went throughout the whole world and they taught human beings things that human beings was never supposed to know. And because human beings are human beings, when they see these fallen angels, they took them to be gods. And so when these fallen angels were teaching them things they had no business knowing, like human sacrifice, that they went along with it because they thought that these demons was actually gods from somewhere else. If you look all throughout the earth, and then it was the flood, but it didn't stop with the flood because after the flood, all over the earth, they show you on TV all the time, all over the earth, they can show you where these demons went to, and they slept with women, and they came up with these Nephilim. There's two races of people. You either belong to the Most High or you belong to Satan. And at the end of the day, when you go back to Egypt, when you go back and you look at all the things that Egypt believed, the main thing that they believed in was dark magic. That was the whole purpose of Moses going in there and cutting down their gods one at a time. The 10 plagues. Those plagues were the demons that they believed in and was praying to. And at the end of the day, you either belong to the Most High or you belong to Satan. And I say that because when you think about it, of course they changed the Tanakh, because if they just wrote everything in the Tanakh, then all we would have to do was read it, know who he was, and go back to where we rightfully belong. These people, they have been corrupted. They have been Nephilim from way back with Cain. They are Nephilim. And the flood destroyed them, but somewhere along the line, I believe Japheth came into the new world, and he brought their seed with them, the seed of the Nephilim with them. And when they started going with each other, when they started going with the women, some of them produced actual giants. When you read in the Old Testament after the flood, you read about the giants. So if the giants didn't belong to the Most High, they belonged to the fallen angels, the demons that came to earth and taught them things they had no right to know. And the reason Israel got in trouble is because when the Most High brought us out of Egypt and we went into the promised land and he sent Joshua in there to see what was going on, that's what they ran into. They ran into the Nephilim. They describe them. They tell you how big they were. They tell you how fierce they were. They were fierce and they were scared because they wasn't like normal human beings. And all through where they went through, that's why the Most High said, when you go in there, you kill everything, because they were Nephilim. And there was no reason to keep any of them because they belonged to Satan. Now, you go back into Egypt and you look into what Egypt, the Egyptians really believed from way back in Moses' time, and it's all about black magic. It has nothing to do with a real Most High. It has to do with all the demons that came to them. that taught them things, and then they started worshiping him. It's that simple. The Most High don't make mistakes. When the Most High said he made Adam and Eve, he made Adam and Eve. Now, as for the white races or some of the races that was in Israel at that time, they were Nephilim. It tells you that the sons of the Most High, meaning the angels, decided to rebel, and they came to earth, and they went all over the earth teaching them wickedness, period, wickedness. Uh-huh. And as far as where we can, hello? As far as where we came from, I don't know if I came from another planet. I personally do not believe that the Garden of Eden was here on Earth. I think we were spiritual beings. They sinned. They got bodies because they sinned, and they were flung down to the Earth because they could not be left in the Garden of Eden because of what they did. And when they came to the Earth, the demons was here waiting for them, teaching them. You think that they really said to themselves, okay, let's go to the when they was making Babel. They were sitting in there, and their whole thought was, we're going to build this tower so that the next time if the Most High decides to flood the earth, that we're going to go up on this tower and he ain't going to be able to reach us. That's not normal thinking. That's thinking that comes from the Nephilim, because they thought, and they have always thought since their fall, that they could outdo the Most High. And so they put it into the people's minds, and the Most High said, okay, it's too many people that's believing what these demons is telling them. That's why they built the tower. So now I'm going to send them all to different parts of the earth and break up this whole thing that the demons is trying to do. It's the demon. I don't believe one human being is, I don't care if you're a man or a woman, if you're an Israelite, all our souls are equal. Our souls become unequal when we decide to go against the Most High. And that means when we decide not to do the law and do what the Most High told us to do, then we become the Most High's enemy, period. A lot of these things we believe, a lot of these things you hear, these demons brought this stuff to earth. And they taught it to mankind. You could go all over the world and see how come in South America they got pyramids like they got in Egypt. And how come you can go down to not just South America, but you can go, I've seen one in Peru, well, that's South America, where they have the pyramids, and they would take the people there and they would kill them. That didn't come from the Most High. That came from them demons that wanted human sacrifices. They wanted human blood. They wanted the people to go against the Most High, and that's what they taught them. They taught them wickedness. Now, if they brought it from another place, I don't know. I only believe about what happened here on Earth. And here on Earth, there's Israel. Go back to Adam and go back to Seth. And from Seth on, there's a direct line all the way up to Shem that was non-polluted. But then you go back to Adam and Eve, and you look at Japheth, and you see that Japheth's line all down up to the flood was polluted with the blood of these fallen angels. That's why the Most High said that.
You know what, sis? That's why we said that it's about DNA. It's about DNA,
exactly.
And like I was saying, I agree with you 100% on top of 100%, and that's the book. I mean, you just quoted the book, but a lot of people get their information and sources outside of the book and from other materials that tell the story from a different perspective, and they think that this information is valid and credible because the information is not in the book. And my only argument is, if the book is tainted, then, of course, the information that you're reading on this end is going to promote their theory, because it's nothing but fallen angel theology. That's all it is. It's fallen angel theology that comes with a power that's not the power of the Most High. And that's all I have to say about it.
Exactly. And not only that, when you actually think about it, my son is in prison. And he called me on the phone, and he said, "Ma, they got a whole new thing in prison." He said, first of all, they feed, and he worked in the kitchen. He said, in some of the food in prison, they putting this saltpeter in there so that the men, is they become sterilized from the saltpeter from eating it. They put it in their food, and they don't even know that it's in the food. He said, but I said, they've been doing that for centuries. He said, their new thing is the DNA. Now, when you get arrested, they take your DNA. I don't care if you get arrested for shoplifting. Once that cop puts some handcuffs on you and you wind up in one of their jails, the very first thing they do is send you to the infirmary and take your blood. They're not taking your blood because they care about what you, what kind of disease you got. Because if you got a disease, they don't do anything to medically take care of that disease. They're taking your DNA because they're trying to find out exactly what makes us. Because they want to duplicate that. Because somewhere along the line, with all Satan's wickedness and the fallen angels' wickedness, they cannot duplicate us. They can make them, but they cannot duplicate us. And that's the whole point. Yeah. Would you want to take somebody's DNA in prison? You go to the hospital, you're in the hospital. In a day, they want to take your blood 9, 10 different times. Why? Why wouldn't one thing of blood be enough for everything? No, they want to take it 9, 10 times, every couple of hours, every day you in there. I was in the hospital. The white woman across me, they came in there and took her blood like 2 times. They took my blood like 9 or 10 times in that day. Why? Because they trying to break the code. Because they know we are the people. And we sit around and we say this and we want to go back to Egypt. Go back to Egypt if you want to. But the further you go back to Egypt, the further you realize they were dealing with the demons and the knowledge they received, they received from the demons. Period. Period. So now people is like, oh, the Egyptians this, and they was ahead of everything. Yeah, they was ahead because they had them wicked fallen angels teaching them and telling them what they needed to know. And that's the bottom line. There's two races of people. There's the Most High people, and when I say the Most High people, I don't mean just Israel. I mean all the nations from back in the day that the Most High created, all of the nations that came from Shem and Ham. I leave Japheth out. So Ham is not the people of, they're not the people of the covenant, but they're still the people that the Most High produced. But Japheth is the people that came from Satan, period, point blank. They are the Nephilims of this world. And that's just the bottom line. I mean, if you want to know, if you think you astral projecting and you got somebody teaching you how to do this, you better re-ask yourself, who is that that's teaching me this stuff?
Absolutely.
Is it coming from Most High or is it coming from Satan? Because a lot of things that people do and a lot of things that people have learned, they want to put to the Most High. But black magic didn't come from the Most High. Voodoo didn't come from the Most High. All that stuff came from Satan because he's wicked and that's what he do. We are the people. They know we are the people. And they want us gone, and they want us gone anywhere they can. And they'll throw all kind of religions at you. Oh, believe this. Oh, believe that. Oh, Buddha and Allah and this one and that one. Most High said, I am Yah. There is no other Yah. You are to worship nothing but me. Bottom line, point blank. When we went into the land, we got in trouble because when we went into the land and still are killing all them Nephilims, we wanted the animals. We wanted this. We wanted that. And sooner or later, they're in with us, and we start following them. And if we had to kill them all, that would have been the end of it. But no, we don't kill them. Before we know it, we doing what they're doing. They eating their children. They murdering their children. We so wicked and so in with them and marrying them that we looked up. The woman called up to David and told David about how her and the other woman ate their children. That didn't come from the Most High. That came from Satan, period, and his fallen angels. And they still on the earth now, and they still doing their wickedness, and they still got us confused. We shouldn't be confused, because you know what should unconfuse us? I don't care who we are, from the lightest of us to the darkest of us. When you walk down the street and they see you, they see black people. They don't care how light you are. They see black people. Period. Don't matter. And when they was in slavery, yeah, of course, they had the little yellow ones up in the house and the little yellow ones doing this and doing that and the dark ones out in the field. And that was only to keep us at each other's throats. And it worked then, and guess what? It's still working now. It's still working now. The color of your skin has nothing to do with your character. Nothing at all. You can be the lightest woman, lightest black woman in the world, and it don't mean you know better or you have any more morals than the darkest black woman or the darkest black man. Your color has nothing to do with who you are inside.
That's true. And you know what, we got 20 minutes left. Since we got 20 minutes left, so can you wrap it up real quick, maybe in another minute or so?
Yeah. The bottom line is this. I used to be one of the Israelites that said, oh, we should just chill, the Most High is going to come get us. But I changed my mind. And when it says in the Tanakh, come out from them, it don't mean we all can't come out from them. We can't all move somewhere where they don't live. It means mentally, get your mind together and stop thinking like them and stop wanting to be them and become who the Most High wants us to be, which is, has nothing to do with them, because everything about them is going to die. They're going to be annihilated, and we are going to be here. And that's all I got to say.
All right, well, all right then. Like I said, we have about 20 minutes left, 19 minutes left. Anybody else want to make a comment, please push one. Feel free to push one. We'd love to hear what you have to say. Brother McCabe, Sister Kavai, you have any comments you want to say behind the sister's comments you made?
I just want to say she made some very good points dealing with the DNA. About the blood, basically when they draw your bloodletting, that's all it is. And they are trying to reproduce us. They really are. They can't or break the code or whatever it is they need in our DNA. They're actually trying to contaminate it and trying to take our blood and use it for whatever genetic purpose that they're trying to do. She made some very valuable, very good points. I'm just listening. I'm a guest on the show today, so I'm listening.
All right, Brother McCabe, you there? You have anything you want to say?
Oh, nah, not too much. Basically, you know, the sister got, you know, sister got a lot of great points. I like what she said. Just to fast forward, a lot of our people just dealing with the Stockholm syndrome, you know. This is why I talk about, you know, research and different things like that, because we're in an ignorant state. You know, we really we have to enlighten ourselves to get up out of that, you know. And if we don't, you know, it'll just be what it is. But certain of us will, certain of us won't. But We really got to do a better job than what we're doing now. We have to.
Well, I mean, you know, it's so difficult, Makai, because you know why? It's people like you, it's people like her, it's people like me, people like Kava, and all the other people that are out here trying to get attention and trying to get the people's attention just to come together. I mean, you know, like you said, differences don't matter. You know, we have non-Masonics and Masonics on the line alike, you know, and it works for a while. But eventually, you know, doctrine and beliefs become an issue for some people. And people just retreat back to their little corners and they say, okay, well, I'm just going to believe what I believe over here and I'm going to say to myself. And that's the worst thing in the world you can do, because we do have to come together regardless of our differences. And we do have, because it's a matter of survival. It's a matter of food, shelter, and clothing. And at the end of the day, the Most High is the one who's going to sift out
and straighten up and reveal and expose and teach.
Right. Exactly. And they did the same. What our people need to realize is they did the same thing to us in every different society. They split us up, made us go against each other. And like you said, we get in our little corners and we want to go back and revert to what we're doing, and we never get anything solved. So this is how they keep us in these boxes, you know. And we must step outside of the box and really start to... The main thing is trust. We don't trust each other because they broke our trust. We had to learn how to start trusting each other once again. And if we start doing that, because they trust each other, you know, they do that. We have to start learning how to do that. Whatever doctrine anybody is caught up in, we all have to answer for anything we've done in our lives. I can't save you. Mm-hmm. You can't save me. So, you know, you could be non-messianic, messianic. It don't matter. You know, you still got to answer for anything you've done wrong, anything. And the point is, we, like I said before, we have to put these differences aside. Because this is an essential part of us moving forward, very essential. Because they know if we put these differences aside, they cannot stop us. That's why they keep us divided. It's a plan.
But, you know, there's a conspiracy against us, too. Because, you know, like I said, long as I was riding the beast, I was getting paid. I mean, real talk. I'm just going to be real with y'all. I'm like Kabbalah today. I'm going to be real with y'all today. Yaina don't get real all the time, but I'm going to get real with you. As long as I was riding the beast, I was paid. The moment I began to study and proclaim that I was somebody else and I became a Hebrew Israelite and from the tribe of Yehuda and started professing that, people are actually afraid of telling people who they are because they are. There is I won't say a bounty out in our head, but then I can't say that. They have a literal bounty out against us to do us harm, and people are afraid to even say they're Hebrew Israelite because they don't want to have to go through anything. You know, people are unemployed. They've lost their jobs. They don't have any money to take care of themselves. They live hand to mouth. You know, they don't want to wear tassels to work. They don't. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's a conspiracy, and when you understand the conspiracy, you understand how deep the rabbit hole goes. We got area code 951 on the air. Go ahead, 951, you're on the air.
Shalom. This is Isabel, and I just wanted the brother to finish about the feminine in the moon. Because he is absolutely right.
Say it again, sister.
You were speaking about the feminine aspect being in the moon. And absolutely right. And you are absolutely right. And that is very, very top shelf information to be shared. Because even today, it being a solastic, very important day that only comes around every 24,000 years
when the planets
move around. So if you could just break down real quick and throw some nuggets out there, because I will research and Google the hell out of some more. I do know a little bit about it, but you have a very, very sharp brain, so... I just wanted to pick your brain a little bit.
Okay, I'll try to be as quick as I can. Related to sun worship and moon worship, the sun is a male deity and the moon is a female deity. And what they did in different societies was they would get us caught up in worshiping a star or a certain planet, so that it would take away the attention from the Most High. So then you have sun worship, and then in certain societies you had the moon worship, when this is where you get the deities from of the masculine and feminine. It's just all it is existence. It's a form of existence that we came from. They have sunlight, sundown, the moon comes up when the sun goes down and it rotates, just like the man and woman are supposed to equally share a bond with each other. They're supposed to work in a union as one.
And balance each other out, correct?
Right, exactly. There you go. Exactly.
And yes, and how, please, does this also link up, because the energies come out of these planets, the moon, the sun, and are these energies that come out our ancestors? You are totally, I agree with you 150 on how we are to rise up and come to a higher vibration through our chakras and also worship like our ancestors. You know, our ancestors did do some things right. Not everything that they did was wrong.
Right. Yeah. I got to piggyback off of what she just said. Not everything that they did was wrong, and not everything that they did didn't mean that it was not of the Most High or from the Creator. And that's where we get in the box of religion, because religion actually has taught us things that are inaccurate. For example, religion tells you that smoking, drinking, and playing music and dancing is a sin, when the scriptures never said that.
Exactly.
I'm just keeping it real. They have taken things that were part of cultures or a culture of people and tried to institutionalize it, and then they tell you it's wrong. They tell you it's wrong to do, when it was a part of life, part of something that our people did. So, I mean, this thing is so deep, and our mindset is so closed that we can't overstand and see the Creator in everything that He has created.
Can I ask you a question, Kavon? I didn't mean to interrupt, but I want to catch you right at that point. The sun and the moon and the masculine, the deities, when I turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4, though, verse number 19, it talks about the sun worship, the moon worship, the star worship, and the host of heaven, that it is not to be done by us, and that the masculine and the female energy comes from the Elohim, because that is the image of where He is. So knowing that the moon is a feminine, or the sun is a masculine, and He tells you in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19, not to worship it, how does that play into what you guys are talking about?
Okay, let me say this, Sister Yaina. In the book of Enoch, when Adam was thrown out of the garden, and you read that here he was, he saw the sun go down. He thought he was going to live in darkness. Because when he lived in the garden, it was no darkness. So he thought that's where he was going to have his existence. And he was told if you eat from that fruit, that he was going to surely die. Well, we know that fruit wasn't, you know, something that he ate, but that's a whole different story. So here Adam is thrown out of the garden. There's darkness that comes. He thought he was going to have to exist in darkness. And when the sun rose up, he was like, oh, my gosh, okay.
I know, Isabel, but the Tanakh tells us not to worship the sun or the moon or the stars. That's in the Torah.
Nobody's saying that we worship the sun and the, no, but there's energy. What we do, and our ancestors did, we know that Mama Ruach is also the earth, and there's minerals in the earth, and that's why we are told, and we see that our ancestors, they walked on the earth barefooted. They did praying, and they were barefooted.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew the sun would also lift up and was food to our body and lift up the chakras of our body. Do you follow what I'm saying?
I'm listening to you. I'm listening.
So our food, the mixture of our food, keeping ourselves clean,
and having that prayer time. You know, prayer time is a form of meditation, you know. So this is why I wanted the brother, and I'm so sorry because I did want to hear what he was saying, and I cut him off when he was talking about the moon and the sun and those energies. But, okay, I'm done. Let me be quiet.
No, I think it's good because, you know, like I said, we're bringing a lot of points out, and it's important that we bring these points out because these are issues that actually go on in Israel. You know what I'm saying? People are...
And see, Yaina, you brought up a very good point when in that videotape that you played where that guy was talking about the telescope there in Arizona, and the telescope is called the Lucifer. That Lucifer telescope is so strong, it's stronger than the satellites that they have out in orbit as we speak. It's called Project Lucifer. And it is backed up by the Vatican. They're the ones that backed it up financially. And those scientists that are in Arizona doing that project, they are hired. The Vatican has their science. They have the astrologers because they know that there is energies and there is a timeline. Our forefathers knew of the timeline. They were the true keepers of science and astrology. That's why Yah told Moses, he told Job, Job, were you there? Were you there when I learned the stars? Were you there?
Right, I understand all that. I understand all that. All I'm saying is that when it comes to, I mean, I know we're to observe the new moon, and when we have a new moon once a month, but when it comes to talking about the woman, the moon is female, the sun is male, and it's the masculine and the energy and this and that, we are specifically told in the Torah, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19, not to observe the sun, the moon, the stars, all of the heavenly hosts, do not be seers of the sky and do not worship these things. And some people, when you bring this to them in the innocence that you are, this is where we got in trouble in the first place. This is where the lines were crossed in the first place that got us in trouble. And we have to be careful with how we go about doing it because to me, it sounds no different than Wicca. Real talk. I mean, Wicca is that's what Wicca does, is they worship Mother Earth, the moon goddess, and they go through all that. We don't have goddesses in Israel. We don't worship the lowercase gods and goddesses in Israel. That's the stuff that got us in trouble in the first place.
Correct. But what I'm saying is here the Vatican has stolen our books, and they have them in lock and key in the underground city, and we can't get to them.
True. Right, but now, even with the books that they stole, that still does not allow us to be pagan worshipers, and the books that they've stolen are the things that they have in place. It's probably some knowledge that we don't know, but what we do have, it specifically tells us not to worship the sun, the moon, or the heavenly host. That is completely, the queen of heaven, completely against what we supposed to worship. Tammuz, completely against what we supposed to worship. We are not supposed to incorporate paganism into the power of Yahuwah. That's completely against Torah. That's why we're sitting in America right now.
I follow what you're saying, sis. I completely understand what you're saying. And what I'm saying is there are some teachings and there are some knowledge in those energies. That's all I'm saying. And they do have a place to play in our learning of how to come up to a higher raising of our chakras. But the main thing is we have Mama Ruach. We have Mama Ruach in us.
everything already. Yahshua lives